We are Brightside.
Theater nerds, welcome to the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast, the home theater podcast. It's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes,
the scenes. I've gotten the sights, I've gotten the sounds. I'm waiting for the scenes. Inside joke.
Yeah, we've got plenty of those.
Yeah.
Fair warning, fellas, and anyone tuning in. Fair warning, fellas, anyone tuning in. The rules have gone. There are no rules tonight, which is good because, you know, now DJ's explaining them to me. But the good news is there are no rules.
Explanation. You're not going to let that go. I wasn't explaining anything. I was just saying. I was like, as a matter of fact, like,
week where Steve's not wearing pants.
John, I was thinking the exact same thing, buddy. The exact same thing. The rules are gone, and so are Steve's pants.
Hey, how I keep cool is a matter for me.
Oh, jeez. Off to Steve's left, there's a hanger with a nice pleated pair of pants.
Freshly ironed.
Exactly. Freshly back from the cleaners. He didn't put him on to come home. He's just walking down the street, proud as punch. I don't know what that means. My mom used to say it all the time. Why is punch proud?
Don't know.
What does that mean? Somebody look that up for me. Yeah. Rachel, he's going commando. He's not going. He's gone. He is gone.
Naturel, I think we call this.
Ah, naturel. Yes. Yep. He joined the group, John.
Hey, it's a prestigious club.
Exactly.
That we're in.
Gotta be done.
He's joined you, myself, and Kramer. I'm out there and I'm loving it, baby.
This is where we're all hanging out.
Yeah.
More ways than one.
Yeah. Nope, just one way. There's only one way.
Yeah.
What other ways are there, Steve? It's like, he's new to this, John. He's new. So good for him. Yeah. Join the club.
Mikey, cover the children's ears. Right.
Eyes, Steve, eyes. I don't know what noises are going to happen. But
It's like an elephant. It's talk? Like an elephant
How did it go off the rails so quickly?
I know.
It said there were no rules. No.
The rules go off the window.
3 seconds in.
Oh, jeez. Good God, Gertie. Oh, man. So funny.
Anyway, how are you?
Much better now. I am not alone. I feel, you know, John and I are not alone anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So. Yeah, so how's your week been, Steve? Did you get to? I know John, you didn't listen to today's show, did you?
No,
you know.
I did.
Did you listen to the whole thing? The part where I said John won't be listening to this.
Oh, I missed that bit.
You did?
Yeah, left. Right at the end.
Yeah,
I don't really listen to anything these days because I never leave the house.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't even remember what I said. I was joking. I was busting on John at the end of the show or something. I said, "That's all right. John won't listen to this anyways."
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
I did my homework, sir. So that's good. And I noticed how you and to prove it, I'm very glad you got Evil Dead Rising again. You know, it lives rent free in your head.
No, there's a cost. Trust me. There is a cost. And you're not going to watch Fifth Element, are you?
I heard you say it. Look, there are some things that just do not need to be seen twice.
You're on the post, buddy.
You know, I know. I'll watch that version. If they change it and put our faces on all of it, I will watch that again. That for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that can be handled.
Yeah. I've seen movies where they substitute a face. It's uncanny how realistic it can be. It's scary.
Like the South Park heads on, you know, bouncing over the people's bodies.
Oh, yeah.
Look, guys, I watch movies more than once routinely, and it's very common to hate it first time, like it second time. But there are some films. Not many that transcend it, you know. I mean, like Deej, Dredd for you, Judge Dredd for you. All right, not Dredd. I'm sorry, the other one, Judge Dredd for you.
Yeah.
And Fifth Element for me that will live in infamy.
Yes.
And do not need to be experienced anymore. Not December 7th, 1941, but just the fifth element, just no. I can't bring myself to. All the clips I've seen of it since just reinforce how bad it is. And so even for the HT experience, I can't bring myself to do it.
Yeah.
It's just not worth it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't blame you. I mean, it's not the hill to die on. That's for sure. I kind of was
in your Transformers. Camp.
No. Oh my God. That's the hill to die on right there. I mean, it's like the Academy slighted that so bad. That's why we had, that's why this show was born. You know, Transformers number one.
Godfather, a distant second.
Oh, distant second. Distance in the home theater. Don't even make the top 10. What are you kidding me? Oh, that's not even a joke. No. I mean, home theater wise, So, John, how's your week been?
Good.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Any home improvement projects? Nothing?
No.
I'd be going nuts. It's like, I got too many home. You want to switch spaces for a little bit?
Yeah.
I got too many home improvement projects. I'm building one.
It's time for you
to. I had to put some pigeon deterrence on my outside TV. So I guess that's home improvement.
I hope that's not a euphemism.
No, I had to actually put some. I had pigeons living on my TV.
Oh my God!
So, let me just clarify: you've got an outside TV.
Yeah,
I do. Yeah,
so la-di-da. Honestly, so posh. Honestly, cool. Well,
he can only watch it a few times a year because it's either too hot,
like twice a year,
It drops into like the 40s, and you can't go outside without a parka on. So,
I get about 6 days a year where it's comfortable to sit out there and actually watch.
Do you have to bring it in during the winter then? Because would it not break?
No, it's actually. I mean, if we're to get into it, it's got a wood enclosure built around it. So, I mean, I've got So, I mean, it's completely covered and enclosed. Hmm. So it's away from the elements, and it's a covered patio. So. Hmm. I mean, it's pretty protected out there, but these pigeons like to nest on top of it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they do their business, and it goes down behind, and it gets all over my TV. So now we're really going to get into it. Yeah. So I bought a big fake owl to put up there because that's supposed to scare the birds away. That's what it says. And it worked for about 2 years. But this year – I guess the birds are no longer afraid of the owl because, like, they're literally
hasn't done anything. They're not stupid.
They literally just were snuggled right up against it, on the owl. I think they got married and became a couple.
Yeah.
So I actually had to buy some little spiky things and put them on top of the thing. So
that
was my week.
I love stories like that.
My TV.
Because I love to think of like the first pigeon, like that brave pigeon this thing is like
language
fake. Yeah. You know, it's like, what the hell? And it's pissed. And it's
up,
like, yeah, it's looking at it. It's pecking it. And it's like, screw you. And he gave it the double, the middle finger. And he flew away and told his buddies, like, everybody come back. And nobody in the pigeon village believed him. Done. Yeah. Nobody did at first. And it took that one other brave pigeon to go, no, Jerry's not lying.
And then that final one was like, hey there, big boy.
Yeah.
I think you're kind of coot.
Yeah. It's like, now I'm waiting, John. It's like, I want to see when they bring the fake pigeon in, they fly in a fake pigeon and put it next to it, just as a big F you to you. Yeah. You're like, yeah, we got your game right here.
Now they've moved into the gutters above my door.
Oh yeah.
So now I have to figure out how to keep them out of there. But it's all
they've got you all in the flap, have they?
They do. Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's the it's the famous Jeff Goldblum line: "Nature will find a way."
That's right.
It always will. It's and it's gonna
language
F you one way or the other.
It scares the bejesus out of me every time I go out of the house because it takes off every time I open the door and there's like this big flapping wing and I forget every time that do that. So I'm like, whoa.
He's trying to scare the pigeons and he scared himself.
Pigeons scared me. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say the owl is what scares you every time you go out.
No, no, no. The owl doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, no kidding.
He stay there.
John hasn't sat on top of the TV since.
I know. And now there's little spikes to keep me
away. I'll tell you what, if you lose reception, you know, it starts to go for it. Do not bang it. All right.
Yeah.
No, it won't be good.
Not gonna be good.
See, I don't know. I'm obviously, I'm clearly not imagining Texas in the right way, because I just figured you'd open the door, shout, pull, the pigeon flies, and it's just like, bang.
Well, the problem is I might hit the TV. I'm not that good.
Yeah,
shot.
I was just gonna say, John. I was like, he did that on the last TV, and he found out his shot isn't that good.
What I need is the bayonet, so I can sneak up on it.
Shish kebab, a pigeon.
That's right. I finally found a use for it, Sarge.
Oh God, nope. Oh, I could hit a pigeon. I could hit it with a bow.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
I could hit it with the side of a barn, but, you know.
Yeah. You could throw a barn?
Yeah.
Woo. Everybody to Texas. I got to see this.
We'll work it out.
Oh, yeah. God.
Anyway, brilliant. That is good. Honestly, I can see it now. I thought you were going to say that the pigeon and the owl moved away in a beautiful pea green boat.
No, no.
But,
oh, God.
Kick the pussy cat out.
Yeah.
You guys are nuts. You guys are nuts. It is a bit of anarchic tonight.
Yeah, we were talking about those earlier, but okay. Enough about that. Talking about all those. There were six of them in the conversation at the time. So, all right. So, anyways, what'd you think of my rant, Steve?
About the Sony thing?
Yeah.
Oh, well, safe space again. This is our safe circle. Similarly,
it's just between us, buddy. Just between us.
No one else. No, just
he's listening anyway.
No, that's all right. That's okay. I read that headline too, and that headline had been put out by a very reputable website, one that started in 1997. People will know which one I'm talking about, but I won't name it. And that website put out that article first, and only then clarified what in fact that meant. So actually, I read the initial thing and I thought, okay, I mean, I'd read about the various physical media replicators are all closing down and they're all consolidating. Most of the ones in the US now are made in Mexico, I'm told. Which is interesting if tariffs come in, but anyway, so the replicator plants are closing and they're consolidating. So there's not as many as there used to be. So when I read it, I thought to myself initially, okay, well, that kind of makes sense. They're just consolidating. There's no way Sony is getting out of this business. They invented the Blu-ray. There's no way they're getting out of it.
Yeah.
But before I could address my mind to it too much, the clarification article then came out and it was like, oh, makes perfect sense. I get it. But there were a number of people that very quickly hit the tinternet and started saying, oh my God, that's it. It's the end of the world as we know it.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, clearly nonsense.
But then,
and you were right, you know, Sony getting out of the movie business is just not going to happen.
Yeah, quite literally. I mean, it's not even a joke to say it. They are the movie business. I mean, they are huge. Is there another company like Sony that is deeply embedded in the movie business? I mean, literally a studio itself isn't as deeply embedded as Sony is, because they make a movie, right? Sony does everything from pre-production all the way to what we do at home.
Yeah.
Right. They actually make movies too, right? They are part of the Sony Productions or something. I'm not sure, but
Sony Studios. I mean, they're Sony Pictures Entertainment. I mean, they're in Columbia. Yes. Yeah. They are one of the only, I think the only studio that's as openly juiced in to every stage of the movie production business. I think you're right. I think they are the only ones. I mean, I think about Panasonic and things like that, who are very, very juiced in, but they're not making movies. They're providing stuff for movies to be made, but they're not making them, whereas Sony does. Like I said, when I first read the article, the headline, I thought, I see where this is going. But as I said, that was on a very reputable website that really should know better. yeah. but who very quickly clarified what that actually meant and were, and had a smeg on their face, I think.
Yeah.
But you know what, Deidre? I think it does suggest that we're all a bit jittery. I think we're all kind of expecting physical media to go, and you're always waiting for that
but why?
Death knell to ring. Well, no, I know.
You know what I mean? Like I said in the rant, like, where is it going? It's going to change. That's a guarantee. Yeah. That's life. You know, that's like saying, I mean, I've used this analogy before. That's like no river runs straight, right? Mm-hmm. There's turns, there's bends. Things happen. That's nature. It evolves. You know, and that's what's going to happen. And it's silly for people. Oh my God, it's going to go away. No, it's going to adapt. It's going to change. It's like, you know, like I said in the rant, it's like, you know, they don't go backwards. You don't invent the Laserdisc and then 10 years later put out a shinier VHS tape. Like, look, instead of being black, it's going to be silver. Like, okay.
Don't give them ideas, Deej.
Give them ideas. It's like, what are you doing?
If they can make money off it, they'll do it.
Well, yeah, and they've done that to us, and we've forked over more money than we probably even know. But, I mean, if VHS came back right now, we'd all buy it just to put it on our shelves. Like, oh, my God, here's a copy of Top Gun on VHS. Look at that. Well, they even like, ruined the box a little bit to make it seem like a collector's item. We buy it, we're like, oh, my God. Tom Cruise was endorsing it. What?
They did it with Alien and Romulus. They released it on VHS.
Everything.
Did you not see?
Yeah.
Did you not see? John Thompson was talking about it. He and I have had some chats about it. So they released a special, very limited edition VHS copy of Romulus. But, now I've kind of might have already jumped the gun a little bit. There was some discussion. Actually, no, John mentioned it on the 25-hour podcast, so I can get away with it. I'm not telling tales out of school. The joke was, that they released it on VHS, and it's, you know, Alien Romulus label, and it's a box, and it's the US box, not the English ones were plastic. Yours ones were like little cardboard sleeves, weren't they? Little slip covers. The joke was that those cassettes, the VHS cassettes, were probably blank.
Blank, yeah.
And they figured no one could play them anyway. Yeah, he did. They figured that no one could play them. So it wouldn't matter.
Yeah. And it's,
I don't know.
I mean, it's, but, for people to even jump the gun to be upset that physical media is going anywhere it's insane. That's like saying anything was like grocery stores are going to go away. You know, like why? Because all of a sudden, like stores are going to go away. Amazon's putting stores out of it. We still have stores. They've been saying that for decades. And it's like, we still have them. There's a market for it. There's the impulse buy. People like to go there. Malls. They might go away someday. I mean, I think COVID did them in. But it's like things evolve and we're always going to be able to get what we want. And it's always going to be getting better. It's just, you know, the way it goes. It's like that's.
But I just think that the problem with social media, do you know what? I listened to the so that I'm, you know, properly giving credit where it's due. They've just re-released the Ricky Gervais episode on Smartless. Which took me a while to realize this is an episode from like 2021, right? They're still in the middle of COVID, right? Took me a while to realize that. But anyway, and he says, and there's talk in there about the problem with social media is everyone has an equal volume of voice. Everyone has an equal voice and sound. And so the problem with social media then when it comes to this is everyone is saying constantly physical media is dying and it's going away that I think people are jittery and are waiting for that death knell to sound. And so a headline like that without context was that death knell for people, even though it clearly, you know, it was a false alarm. But I think that's what it was, and that's why I think people seized on it. There will be those who deliberately put it out, as someone says in the chat there, Martin says, for clickbait. They're deliberately doing it, knowing that it's nonsense. But there will be others who are panicky and are just putting it out as like, oh, my God, this is it. This is what we've been waiting for, and here it is, before they realize what the context of it is. And that's what I think this website did, in fairness. I don't think they did that for clickbait because they don't normally. I think
Chicken Little mentality, too.
Yeah, sky's falling.
It's like see what they're going to say, because eventually Blu-rays will die out, right? Mm-hmm. And then they're going to feel like they're prophets. I told you. Well, no kidding. It was going to die out eventually. That's like saying someday, DJ, you're going to die. No crap. It's like, you're not Nostradamus here. We all know it. It's like, you're not saying, and then when it happens, you go, oh my God. You know, there is one that literally never happened. John knows very well. We all know, you know, in here in United States, Tom Brady never fell off a cliff. His career never went off a cliff. And they kept they've been saying it since he was 35 years old. And it's like, he's going to go off a cliff. And they all thought it was going to happen. And it never did. He was the one that beat the, he like literally retired on top. He could come, a lot of them are saying he could come back this year and be probably in a top 10 quarterback. He's just that good. But it's like, very rarely does that happen. Everything comes to fruition eventually, and people, and then this is the Chicken Little mentality. It's like, oh, there you go. But that, that literally, so it could have been any other company, but Sony stopped making Blu-rays. It's like, oh my God, just the common sense would just tell you, like, it's not what you think it is.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, quite. I get it. But as I said, I think there was just this, they were waiting for this. And then it's kind of on the back of some sort of headlines that pointing in that direction. And suddenly here we go. Yeah. But yes, it's recordable media for anyone wondering who didn't listen to Takeover Tuesday yet. Yes, this was the talk about Sony, the headline saying that they've stopped making Blu-rays, but they mean recordable Blu-rays because these days, as you said, what donkey is recording on Blu-ray? I mean, everything's in the cloud these days. Everything's in a giant data warehouse in California. You know, who the hell is putting anything on recording on physical stuff anymore? Not us. And we're big fans of physical media, and even we are not doing that. You know, we're storing everything on solid state drives. You're not going to be downloading it to a separate thing. So it makes sense that they would stop doing that because this is just
Just did check my email to make sure nobody wrote in because I'm like, there's always one. Be like, I'm still using recordable Blu-rays. I'm like, okay. I was expecting at least one will come in because I'm sure people still are. I don't know.
I mean, there's still people recording programs with their VCR, you know. I mean – somebody out there is doing it.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's in Japan. Apparently in Japan, it's still quite popular for people to use that. But then that might be down to internet speeds and it might be down to cloud issues. They may just not trust the cloud, you know, and it may be that they still do that. But that's, again, what that article says is in the clarification articles anyway, talk about it's Japan. That's really where they're still using them, but everywhere else in the world are well and truly moved on and just store everything in big data warehouses in California. So, you know, that seems to be kind of how it all is. But yeah, I get why, you know, I get why it was a good topic for a rant, Deej, for sure. Cause, you know, lots of people did jump in on it and weigh in on it. And it's now feeling fairly silly.
It's great. I love that stuff. So, and like I said in the rant, it's like, I find that stuff entertaining. That's why I find like social media entertaining. And it's just watching people stumble all over themselves. You're like, oh, but then, and that's what's interesting about it is like, you can say something like that and then disappear, you know, and be like, all right, you know, just forget about it. You come back later and say something else. And, you know, like, I didn't realize it was all of that. And it's like, well, that's the problem. You know, say it to my face, say it to somebody's face and then have them explain it to you. It's a little bit different. It's a little braver on the internet. Not like us here. We put our foot in our mouth every week.
Hey, that's what we're here for.
John and I have been doing it going on, 7 years, buddy?
Six, 7 years.
Yeah. 7 years, coming up on seven. Oh, we've been sticking our foot in our mouth.
2019? Weekly, bi-weekly. 2019, right? Isn't that when we start? 18. 18 so, yeah, started. 7 years.
Seven, yeah. 18.
Damn.
Paul in the chat says, I still burn audio CDs, like about two a year.
Yeah, exactly. He's making mixtapes for people.
And Lawrence of Arabia for us.
Yeah, this is Kevin. Oh, wrong one. Things are moving quick and fast. DJ isn't tricked by the algorithm driving him towards hate. He actually enjoys it. It's just, no, seriously, it's fun. It's like, you know, it's a lot of fun to watch people. They can't get out of their own way. And then this at Paul. He's like, I have politely corrected half a dozen folk on social media about Sony. Yeah. And then and that's even fun too when you do politely correct them and then watch it. Some of them come back. Well, they try to keep it going. I saw a few of those. It wasn't Paul that was doing it. I saw a few other people. When I saw conversations that, son of a bitch.
Oh, we lost DJ.
He's gone. Right, brilliant. Okay. So, John, you're going to have to tell me the rules of football. So,
well, see, they used to have lines on the ice.
So apparently, John, it's offside if it's this side of the line. Someone told me something about it.
if you're not making a lateral pass, then it's offside.
As you were, everyone.
What happened? It's like I dropped out and went back in time?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, man, that was weird, DJ. That was unusual. That's kind of the last time that was when you were.
I think people listen. They're trying to get me off the air.
Somebody sent a spike through the line and kicked you off.
Yeah,
but he kicked for DJ and took him off.
Yep, exactly. Oh man,
dragged.
My dad. I'm back.
Oh well. So there we go. Tell you what, while you're getting everything back up and sorted again, then let's say hi to
Ryan. I forgot I got to do that.
That's okay.
All right, you do you.
I'll do me. Alrighty, there you go.
Here we go again.
So DSG was first in way earlier, saying that he was about to sit down and watch the last voyage of the Demeter. Very good. And then the gorge afterwards. Less good. But more about which later. Hi, TSG.
That's nothing like the trench, is it?
Man, I'll take the trench any day of the week. More about which later. Mikey's in. Hi, Mikey. Kevin's in. Hey, Kev. We've got Steve At is in the chat. We've got Scruffy's in. Hey, Scruffy. And then this is where we then get loads of messages and I miss people. So yeah, Captain's in. Captain, apparently saying that he has the largest screen of anyone in the chat. I don't know what size screen.
That's
Captain says he's the one with the largest screen in the chat.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Unless you mean screen door. I don't know. But anyway, some sort of screen. Yeah. Paul Hertz in. Hey, Paul. As always, hey, Paul. We've got rattling through it. Rach is in. I saw Rach. Hey, Rach. Dom's in. Bonsoir, Dom. He's in. And we have got who else? There were a number came in one after the other. Oh, yeah. Martin J's in. Hi, Martin. Greg, we've heard from. That's son-in-law. Yep. And then we've got Don's in.
I don't need a lie. He's my son.
Aw, it's all like, kumbaya, my lord. Right, anyway, yeah. PF Productions.
You on the other
in,
hand, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all right. I'm working on it. You know, we just got to get to know each other better.
Here we go. He's got his pants off. And he wants to get to know me better, John.
Hey, I heard.
I just said C big and Siri just kicked in. Anyway, that's my accent. Right. Okay. Hey, Theodorus. Hey, Jordan's in as well. Everyone is in. And I'm just trying to see who else has dropped in as well because there were some more. Others. Fred's in. Yeah. Hey, Fred. There we go. Brilliant. Right. And everyone is present and correct.
Nice. Oh,
Scruffy, you see, Deej, you're putting filthy thoughts into people's minds.
It's why is that filthy?
Well, that's okay, what God gave us. I'm as nature intended. Yes, fair enough.
Exactly. Like
au naturel.
You know, like your head. God made a few perfect things. He covered the rest with hair. Well, made a few perfect things. Everybody else gets pants. All right, there you go. All right. So, on that note, why don't we build on that? I'd like to thank again, Bill. Bill, becoming a $2 member on Patreon. Thank you very much. And I thanked him in today's Takeover Tuesday, but on the live show, I'd like to say the thanks again to Bill and all our patrons. And I will be back doing the Patreon chat after the show next week. I'm skating this week. And so I got to get out of here pretty quickly after the show. So instead of ramping all that up, we'll do it again next week. And also I did want to say thanks to Ben, who sent a $10 donation box of popcorn to us. I forgot. I knew somebody gave us a donation on the Takeover Tuesday today, and I forgot. I couldn't find it in my notes, and I promised I'd do it in the show today. So thank you, Ben, for the $10 box of popcorn. Really appreciate it. John did not hear my little Patreon plea in today's Takeover Tuesday.
I did not.
It was the tears that sold it for me, Deej. It was the tears that really sold.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, I actually said, I don't know if I've ever said it on the show before. I know you and I, the three of us have talked about it. And, like our audio only numbers are really good. It's, you know, really good, way, way better than YouTube. And so I said on today's Takeover Tuesday, I'm like, if everybody listening to us just gave a buck, it's like, John wouldn't need a job.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Yeah, exactly. John wouldn't need a job.
I'll join that plea.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not enough for Steve to retire or myself.
Well, not to keep up with his Blu-rays.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. So you're making them now. It's fine.
Yeah, it's, you know, and that's the basis of it, though. It's like if everybody gave a buck and it's like, you know, do we give a buck? Is it worth it? I don't know. Are we worth a buck a month? You know, I don't know. Man.
Every time I come on here, I like to think I give a buck.
3 cents a day.
Oh, sorry, buck. Sorry, yeah, buck, right. Sorry.
3 cents a day.
For only 3 cents a day, you can feed a starving child.
Yeah.
Or a 55-year-old man in Texas.
you can keep a 55-year-old man in Texas knee-deep in plastic owls.
Yeah, exactly.
Pigeon spikes.
I was like, I could do the show full-time. I'm like, that would be great. You know, it's like, this would be great, but... But, yeah, we're going to push it on that more, you know, maybe. I mean, we did talk about it before when our donations have gone up. So it's been, maybe everybody's right. The more you talk about it, the more people engage. Okay.
I mean, you know, imagine that.
I know. John's been saying that for what, 6 years?
7 years? What are we talking? 2018?
Well, I got on Patreon. 2020, I think.
2020.
Something like that, or 2021. I don't know. I forget. But yeah. So help John out.
Like, that's right.
So, but thanks to all the patrons we do have, because it literally does pay for the show. So that's.
Ouch.
There you go. I love it.
Man. We have Scruffy. Save the Listen. Donkey singular, Scruffy. Come on, man.
Yeah. Save the donkeys. No, that's us. We're donkeys. Donkeys on a bus bench. Yeah. So that was great. Thanks, Scruffy. Appreciate that. Save the donkeys.
I think we've got our new Brightside Home Theater t-shirt slogan.
Yep. See, yeah. I've been working on new t-shirts, actually. Yeah. They do have hats there. I'm actually wearing one right now. So if you can see.
Oh, you've got a new design. Oh yeah. Cool.
They're screen printed, right? They're not as nice as the ones that we have that I've had made, but they are way more readily available there. But there's Steve holding it up. But they are more red. Everybody can get one. You just go on Patreon and I forget how much it is. I grabbed two of them, for myself just to see how they were and see what it looks like. And the design's not, it doesn't come out too bad. It's a little small, but, and it's not embroidered, but I don't know about everybody else's head, but this thing is so comfortable. I don't, and I'm not trying to talk it up. It literally, like, when I shop for a hat, I'm trying to, like, I'm literally right now trying to look for different hats that fit me right. And I'm not big into like the hat that comes straight up and back. And like, I like it like more form fitting like this where I can, and it stays on my head. And this thing is so comfortable for me. Maybe it's not for you. That's what I'm saying. Like everybody's head's different, but I love this hat. And it's like, I actually like the ones I have embroidered. I like the look of them better, but this is actually more comfortable. So that's why I'm like, all right.
I think if John keeps doing his Australian impression, we're going to have to get some with corks hanging down on string.
Well, that's one of the things that I came up with. I actually have a list here.
I want impressions?
Australian ones.
No, I did come up with an idea for a t-shirt and maybe even a hat if I can get the design to fit on there. But I was like, I want to do a t-shirt where like on the front, you just have the little logo. But then on the back, it's Brightside Home Theater, a little bigger logo with all the flags of the countries. Hmm. And this is what I've come up with so far. Look at this is a legit grill on main napkin. This is where I was when I came up with the idea. So
get that on eBay quick.
Yeah, exactly. That's my handwriting. So there you go. But yeah, so this is what I've come up with so far. USA, England, Canada, Ireland, Australia, France, Spain, India, Japan, Italy, and New Zealand.
Our current listeners.
Yeah. That I could remember off the top of my head in a restaurant.
And one day Antarctica.
Yeah.
I would hope. Yeah. Do they have a flag? I don't think it's – is do they
just,
have
just ice. Just an iceberg. Just,
it looks like surrender. It's just white.
It's like, yeah.
No. Yes. Oh, they figured out your porn name, Steve.
Well, you know, I'm not going to say coming soon. Anyway, so the
oh, there you go. Oh. More on that later. Jordan, just noticed. Only just noticed that DJ's chair is Marvel themed. Looks really cool. Yeah, it's
showing off the chair. So you can do that. Yeah,
yep. It's let me see if you can. Yeah, it's Captain America, of course. So more on that in a little bit.
Themed,
yeah, more on that later.
On brand.
Yeah. And it's even got little back, like a lumbar support that's adjustable here. It's nice. It's got, it actually has a footrest on it. It goes back. It's great.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be great in the new studio.
I didn't say it was.
I didn't say yours wasn't. I didn't say mine was better. I was just saying the features mine had, kind of like the rules in sports. Just mentioning it.
Oh, tell me more.
God, Steve.
I would prove it, but if I prove it, then you're going to, you know, people are going to see what they're talking about.
Right. As soon as you recline.
You're
going to
see Buck, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you'll see Buck naked in all his glory.
There is glory. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Oh, boy. This is great.
Right.
All right. Where were we?
I don't know.
Home theater or something?
I don't even know what show we're on anymore.
I know, exactly. anything you guys want to talk about? You want any movies? You want to get to scenes? Do you want to? What are we doing?
Yeah, go on.
Maybe
there's a couple that I got to get off my chest.
All right. Which ones? Please. What do you got, buddy? What are you looking for?
Do you want to? We can start low and we can build if you like. Do you want to do the one that you put over from last week? I'm doing that this week, which is another Sony disc. There it is.
There we go. All right, here we go. So,
Okay, so this is Venom, The Last Dance on 4K UHD and Dolby Atmos. It's rubbish. Right, moving on. Oh, no, sorry. So I probably should put some meat on the bones. Yes, I watched this about 3 weeks ago, whenever it came out. And DJ, I know you reviewed it, didn't you, a while back? And
yeah.
I think you were saying you enjoyed-ish the movie. Better than the second one, yeah. Okay, all right. So I'm not a massive fan of these films. I've got them all in 4K on Blu-ray, 4K disc, and I am not a huge fan of them. I like Venom the character. I don't like what they've really done with these movies particularly. I've seen one many times, a couple of times. This was the first time seeing this. I stayed away from it in theaters. And I came to this with rock bottom expectations. Okay. I mean, subterranean Kill Bill Volume 2 style expectations. I came to this and even they weren't met.
Oh man.
Oh goodness me. So on goes the movie. We'll talk the movie first. And within about 10 minutes, I was just thinking, what am I watching? What an absolute mess this film is. The story makes no sense. None. It's like they've just chucked a load of ideas at a wall. Whatever stuck, you know, other than Sell Cockatoo by Koala, whatever stuck on the wall, they're like, right, chuck that in. That'll do. There it is. I almost stopped halfway through and thinking, is this really what's happening? Have I missed something? Have I fallen asleep and missed something here? But no, I hadn't. Unfortunately, I wish I had. Cause then I'd have just thought this was a nightmare. But anyway, so and it carries on and it carries on and then it ends. And at the end of it, I was thanking my lucky stars that it had ended. Oh my goodness me. This film is what I think. DJ, here we go. This will tell you. I think Madam Web is better than this. And Madam Web ain't good. This was dreadful, and I'm not sure I will ever see this film again. I will keep it in the collection. Again, it's not going to Midway Hell. It's gonna stay in the collection because I've got some people that I know that will want to see it. But I'll try every excuse I can think of not to have to watch it with them. Because boy oh boy. So movie, dreadful. The only problem is though, as well, this is the other thing though, Deej. I actually don't think the disc is that good either. And I say that as a Sony disc movie fan. And normally, you know, one of our catchphrases is, it's a Sony disc, therefore it's great. I didn't even think this was that good. It looks okay. The only time I thought, wow, how three-dimensional is that, are the nighttime scenes of Vegas, which do look good. And they do look quite three-dimensional. But I thought everything else looked soft, looked kind of washed out. It just did not engage me at all. And similarly, I'm sorry to say, with the audio. It didn't blow my socks off. It didn't rattle the room like it, not like the, these discs normally do.
Yeah.
The whole thing was just as an HT presentation, it was, which I'm not used to with Sony. But as a movie, it was like, ugh.
Yeah.
I look condensing it all into onomatopoeia, like you see. and so just, very, very.
That's usually John at the end of the show. He's about to pee.
Yeah.
What's he going to pee on? On a mat of pee. Don't pee on the mat. Or the pigeons. Because then they'll come back in force. This movie left me absolutely cold. I really was disappointed with it. And I was not expecting anything from this. And as I said, I'd watch Madame Web again before I watch this again. And I am glad this trilogy is over. And I'm hoping they will now do a proper version of Venom, which Marvel will do and won't let Sony anywhere near. but who knows? I know, Deej, you've got a different opinion of it, and I get that.
Yeah.
But for me, I was just completely underwhelmed in every way. And a friend of mine who had warned me, who'd seen it a couple of days before in the manner which we were talking about before the show, and he had said, Steve, just brace yourself. And I was like, but I quite, the other two are okay, and I'm sure it can't be that bad. It is that bad. And so, yes, this could be my worst film of 2024.
Ooh.
But anyway, that's just me. That's just me. What are they saying in the chat? Oh, Fred says, I agree with Steve. I thought everyone was going to be saying it's great.
No, Fred. I don't think it's as bad as you think. This franchise isn't my favorite franchise either. And I said that before. It's like, I like the first one. I like the idea. I like Venom. I like, the character and the comics. I like how it ties in. I think what it's what this entire franchise is missing is Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is kind of ridiculous that you have the entire series and he never ever shows up, that doesn't make sense. But once you get past that, and by the third one, maybe I am past it. I don't know. I didn't really enjoy the second one at all. This one, maybe because the second one I didn't enjoy, I did come in that low that I thought it was better and I liked it. I like Hardy, Tom Hardy, but
Tom Hardy's great.
I love his sarcasm. I love the humor. I loved the, in this movie, I liked it. It was more of a buddy cop thing, and you had a different quote unquote bond there that I liked, that they elaborated on, but they're nothing special, if you never see them, it's not like you're missing anything in the Spider-Verse or in Marvel or anything like that. I wouldn't go as far as you. Even on the visuals and audio, I thought it was pretty good, but not something. Honestly, I barely even remember what I said about it, but I know I liked it. It wasn't like I'm like, oh my God, Steve, what about this? I can't defend it but I know I enjoyed it. So,
in fairness, there is the only part of it that stands out to me that I remember thinking was actually right at the beginning when you get the Knull. It is right at the beginning. Is it Knull? I think I'm saying that right. Or Null? I don't know.
Null.
Anyway, So you hear the xenophage or whatever it is moving before you see them. And that's all in the atmosphere because there's a bit of movement there, which was quite nice. And as it pushes in on him, you can hear them all moving in the speaker. So that was quite good. But then after that, it's all forgettable. And I mean, again, the thing that I was saying about, I don't think it's much of a spoiler, that I was saying to my friend was that, they're being pursued. That's in the trailer by soldiers and all kinds of things. So they pursue them into the woods. They rappel down from a helicopter, right? These soldiers end up in the water, but somehow, even though they were in the woods, they've got press a button and they've got aqua gear. And now they can move through the water. It's just like, what the buck? Anyway, oh man, this movie was stupid. And I felt myself getting stupider the more it went on. So by the end of it, I was just a drooling vegetable, a bit like I normally am.
Maybe that's why it didn't bother me. I started out stupid, can't get much lower. What's the problem? Steve, you've got something to worry about. You actually have some intelligence. I cashed that in a long time ago for some seeds and didn't work out.
A lot of people over the years have called me a lot of things. Intelligent mate isn't one of them.
Oh, let me be the first. But I also said I'm stupid. So there you go.
You get to know one.
Consider the source.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the phrase is, what is it? Great minds think alike, but fools seldom differ.
Yeah, exactly. That's everybody says that. Great minds think alike. I go, yep, but the opposite's true too.
Yeah. So, have you seen it, John? Have you seen this one?
No, no. I really have no intention to see it.
Yeah, man. You normally fall between
definitely
the two.
Not now.
Well, I hated I really disliked the second one. Mm-hmm. And so I came to this with no aspirations of ever even watching it. I really didn't like the second one at all. Even the first one exceeded my expectations because I didn't expect to like it. And I thought it was fun and I had a good time with it. But after that, the second one really I did not like. So,
yeah. I mean, I was looking forward to the second one. I mean, Carnage as a character, I think I like even more than Venom. But done right, done as an R-rated, ultra-violent serial killer superhero.
I like Woody Harrelson.
Awesome. Yeah, but just I mean, they butchered the character in a PG film. But you know, it should have been and could have been the R-rated superhero movie to end all movies. This could have been the new Blade. But unfortunately, you know, it's like, well, hang about, if we make it PG-13, we'll get some more money. So, okay, well, let's do that then. And to hell with the character and what people want. Todd McFarlane apparently was very unamused about the whole thing either. And of course he created it with the other chap, didn't he? And he doesn't like what they've done with this either. He's like, Venom is not, again, as they're saying in the chat as well, Venom is not a comedy character. He's not a hero. Venom is a villain. And that's what he should have been. And also he does say you can't have Venom without Spider-Man. So, you know, but there we go. They've made billions of dollars. Sony are happy. What do I know? You know, fair enough. Boy.
A long international nightmare is over. So there you go. All right.
Good stuff. Anyway, sorry. So we started low. Now we can just move up from there, maybe.
Yeah, let's go. What would you like to go with, John?
Well, I've only got one if we're going to save my other one till the end. So,
all right. So
you can do another one or we can just get mine out of the way.
Since we started low, we'll build on that a little bit and move a little bit higher, in my opinion, than that. But let's, I think you've seen this, Steve. Have you?
I can't quite see what it is.
Oh, here we go.
It's a little too small.
All right.
That's what she said. No, I haven't. Do tell.
All righty then. This is Flight Risk with Mark Wahlberg, Topher Grace. I don't know who the actress was. Michelle, I forget her name. She seemed new to me. No, that I would not forget. but directed by Mel Gibson. Yes, this is not, you know, Braveheart, Hacksaw Ridge. It's not The Passion of the Christ. It's, you know, very, very way, way down. I don't know, what he was thinking.
Oh, really? You love Marky Mark.
Is the hair a story choice? I just got to know. Or
what's that?
Is the hair part of the story, or the, you know?
No,
his,
I think it's not, just all right.
Just
let's
a choice.
Get to that. This was, you know, I watched it on. Obviously, I watched this on Kaleidoscape. It dropped the other day, or this week, or whenever, and it's. You know, 4K HDR, no Dolby Vision, but it had Dolby Atmos. The weird thing about the hair was, I don't know if it was just, I think it's just supposed to be funny or something. I don't know. It was supposed to be a joke in the movie because it's like, oh my God, this guy's weird. It really wasn't necessary at all. And then with the picture, it's like the close-ups of him didn't look bad. It didn't look awful of like the hairline, right? But the distant shots. So, I mean, most of this movie takes place in the plane and it's a private plane. And if he's in the background, you can almost see like, it's just bad. Like you look in the back because the picture quality is pretty good on this, But what they did, it's like, it's almost like they were like, oh, don't worry about it. He's in the background. So we don't really need to do his makeup like crazy for this shot. And it's like, you can, it looks like he's wearing that clown wig, you know, the clown thing that you'd put on. And it was like, those were the shots that I thought were just horrible. And it was, you know, but that's a testament to the picture quality, to our systems to be able to see it. Most people are probably never going to notice it. And I think most people are never going to see this. To be fair, I didn't find it that bad. I found it kind of, it's a crime thriller type thing, more suspenseful. Like, how is this working out? They're trying to figure out who did it. It's a whodunit type thing. And it's like, who's after Topher Grace? And you know, it just plays out. And by the end, you're like, okay. It wasn't, you know, I can't say it was the worst movie I've ever seen, but I'm not recommending it by any stretch. Home theater wise, I'm not recommending it either. It's like, it had a decent picture, decent sound, but there's nothing in here to make you go, oh my God, you got to see this, because the plane flies from the left on the right. There's a couple of scenes like that, but it's mostly just a, you know, kind of like a crime thriller type thing with really not much on the thriller part. Yeah, Mark Wahlberg, it's pretty funny. It's like, you know, the character he's playing, I don't think it's meant to be funny. It's just seeing him, it's funny seeing him in this role, I guess. But yeah, a lot of people would say this is horrible. I'm not going to go that far, but I'm not recommending it. But if you see it online, or if you see it, you know, streaming, and you check it out, it's got its moments, but, you know, not too many. And don't hate me if you're like, oh, well, if you can watch it for free, you know, and you go ahead. that's my ringing endorsement for this. So that was about it. What have you guys heard about it? I know neither of you have seen it, right?
I haven't seen it. I was actually pretty close to seeing it in the theater. Lydia and I were going to go just because we wanted to go to the movies, and there wasn't really a lot playing.
Yeah.
But then we ended up either the timing of the showings didn't work out. I don't remember why we ended up not going, but we didn't go. And then I started really kind of not hearing good things about it. So,
I'd heard from a well-respected reviewer over here that it was dreadful. And there's not enough hours in the day. Because I think, you know, we always say, don't we? Reviews are kind of just a guide. You can ignore them. You don't have to see them. You don't have to listen to anything we say. But I think that you can get when everybody says it's not good, apart from Jordan. Jordan will love it. We know that.
Well, that's the thing. All he said is a fun action thriller. I don't think he's going crazy with it. I wouldn't say it was that much fun. But I mean, it wasn't a slog to get through, but at the same time, it's not, you know, I can't in good conscience be like, you gotta check this out. I can't, you know, it was, you know, if you're a completionist with like Mark Wahlberg, maybe see it.
I think you've got to see all
Mark Wahlberg stuff.
Yeah, I collect Marky Mark, so.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotta put that on the show.
I think
you're wearing his underwear right now, aren't you?
I am.
Did he sell underwear like years and years ago?
He did.
Yeah, Calvin Klein.
Well, he was in an ad at least. I don't know.
Oh, was it? BVDs or something?
Calvin Klein.
Oh, I think it was, wasn't it? I have no intention of seeing this anytime soon. This is a Netflix, nothing better to watch type job. I'm in no rush to see it, even with Mel Gibson directing it. And I think he's a very good director. You know, Hacksaw Ridge. You know, Passion of the Christ, Braveheart, you know, these kinds of movies, he can direct very well indeed. And, you know, and don't forget Apocalypto, of course, as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a talk about cinema. So he's very capable. This one strikes me as not getting hired that much these days. Look what's just come along. I've got a couple of weeks free. It's a nice, easy thing to film because most of it will just be inside this, you know, green screen and a plain set. How hard can it be? And, you know, it's a bit of a journeyman thing rather than something that was calling to him. And of course, he's building up for Passion of the Christ 2. I know bizarrely, but yes, it is. So he's about to start that, isn't he? So I think this must be a little bit of a, you know, work out what it's like back behind the camera type thing. But there we go.
I mean, there's some great shots of Alaska, if they're even Alaska, but I mean, there's some great shots of like the mountains and the sunset or the sun. And it's like, I mean, there's some beautiful stuff like that. There's one completely ridiculous scene of what a plane could never do. Which is like if they had left that out, no, I'm not saying it would have improved the movie, but it was like, that was completely unnecessary. They could have just, they could have had the plane do something else instead of what they had it do. So,
did that, it transform into a robot?
No, no. That would have been more realistic. It's like, that would have actually elevated the movie a little bit to like, you know, Oscar nominations.
Just for the sake of completeness, Paul does say Michelle Dockery is the name of the actress.
Okay.
And they say she was in Downton Abbey and in Defending Jacob. Defending Jacob, by the way, is a fantastic one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But the, what I remember her from, what I remember her from more than that is The Gentleman. You hear her in that with her bit of a Cockney accent she adopts during that. With Guy Ritchie's The Gentleman, of course. And she is good in that. She's tough as nails in that. Very, very good. And not a role you'd normally expect her to play. Very, very good in that.
Oh, cool. All right. So that's it for, Flight Risk. All right. All right. You want to go, Steve, you want to do another before we, and then John.
If we're moving in an upward trajectory, can we do the one with, the two actors looking at the camera? I think, John, you've seen it, that one. Yep. Cause we're moving upwards then. All right.
We're moving upwards.
Moving on up. Yes, indeed. A little bit from the last one,
but we're moving up a bit. But okay.
So, here we go. Depends on who you ask, I guess.
Yeah. Well, quite. Yeah. So there might be some differing opinions on this. Let us see. Okay. Ladies and gents. So this is, for those listening on the audio only or with a really small screen, this is the film called The Gorge. Okay. Which is on Apple TV Plus. It landed on Valentine's Day. Scott Derrickson directed movie. Scott Derrickson directed, Doctor Strange, and also directed Black Phone and the soon to be Black Phone 2. And he's a very capable director. So this, guys, is possibly, and when I say possibly, I mean actually, the most frustrating home theater experience I have had in years. Possibly, certainly since Greyhound, I think, actually, not possibly, since Greyhound. Wow. Okay, so now the movie itself, again, we'll always start with the movie. So my personal view is this film shouldn't have been called The Gorge. It should have been called The George, okay, because this should be a movie for me. And, yes, I've been thinking of that all week. Okay, so this should have been my movie, okay? The trailers to it make it look amazing. We have two assassins from opposite sides of the political spectrum, opposite side of the gorge, and they have got to spend a year guarding the gorge. Guarding it from what, you may ask? Are they trying to keep people out? No.
What are they guarding it from? You said I could
in
ask.
In the gorge, in. Okay, so there's your setup, right? Trailers look good. You see a little creature hand. You know, this is a movie for me. Genre all day long. Sounds great. It's got to be good. And I cleared my schedule, not schedule, on Friday night, Valentine's night, guys, right? Cleared my schedule, okay, to watch this movie because I thought, here we go. This is going to be great. And I'd watch the trailer on the glasses, 147-inch screen. Oh, my God, this is going to be great. And then I watched it. So I'll come to the home theater experience in a minute. But before then, let's talk the movie, as I say. Boy, oh, boy. This film does not know what film it wants to be. I think it wants to be a B-movie creature feature sci-fi thriller. But what it seems to be pulling in different directions, you've got romantic sort of comedy-ish. You've got drama. You've got sci-fi. You've got action. You've got thriller. All of these things chucked into a melting pot and none of it holds together, unfortunately. You've got two actors who I think in everything else they've been in have been fantastic. Miles Teller's great in Maverick, awesome in Whiplash. You know, he's even not bad in the 2015 Fantastic Four, dare I say it. And Anya Taylor-Joy is our spirit animal, isn't she? She's great in everything we've seen her in. We're always saying how good she is. And I think both of them in this are wildly miscast. Because I think they're both trying to do one of those multiple genres I was telling you about and can't do them all. You get CGI creatures that look like they're the cast-offs from Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest. You know, the crew of the Flying Dutchman. That's what they all look like. And then you get, and in the middle of all this sort of nonsense, poor old Miles Teller has to say lines such as, and I kid you not, this is almost a direct quote, I'm not going back to watch it again, right? So I'm not about to do it directly, but it's a paraphrasing. He stops in the middle of an action scene and says the following, more or less, if this is the end for us, and if the world ends, it'll have been worth it. While he looks into the eyes of Anya Taylor-Joy. Just silence, please. Okay, what the hell? So anyway, movie was dreadful.
I thought really we were going up.
Well, we are because it's kind of like there are a couple of good shots in it. There you go.
Okay.
There's one half decent action
scene on the edge of my seat. The end
that I won't ruin. But I don't want to ruin the only good bits in it, as far as I was concerned. Okay, so also good news. It's Apple TV Plus, so it looks really good, and it's not quite 185, but it's not far off. It's that slightly truncated. Not 185, it's not 235, it's kind of in the middle. And so because of the quality of Apple TV Plus in terms of the video, it does look three-dimensional. And there are some lovely shots. Clearly, this has all been shot on the soundstage. So there are some lovely shots where the camera moves around these towers and then moves up and then above looking down into the gorge. And they are quite three-dimensional. And there's a nice opening shot of Anya Taylor-Joy's face. She's in a foxhole. And, you know, you can see all the pores and all the marks and all the shadow detail. Great. Video-wise, looks fine, but that then shows up the terrible CG. Where this was utterly frustrating for me, though, and this is why I compare it then to Greyhound Deej, and those of you that have been around a long time in the chat and that will know what I'm getting at, the audio on this, and I'm only talking about my system and two others that I tried it on because I had to find out if it was just mine, I think the audio on this is broken. No. Because you get it's Atmos audio, apparently. There is some movement, but not a lot. And it just seems, other than the sort of the ending where there is some sort of explosion, and I won't spoil that anymore, where suddenly you remember, oh, I've got subwoofers. The rest of the time, for me, they just weren't even engaged. They might as well have been switched off, for all I know. There are some big, massive, you know, guns going off that sound like firecrackers. Oh. And what's worse than all of that, I had to bump the audio on this crazy high to get any sort of dynamicism, if that's a word. And I'm talking
dynamics, but okay.
Dynamics, that'll do.
Yeah, you go.
Dynamism.
Dynamics.
You're talking 10 dB above what my normal reference listening would be. I had to bump this big time, and it still didn't do it.
Oh, really? Okay.
By the end of this, I was incredibly frustrated. I was not a happy chappy. I did not get the movie that I wanted and what I expected, and I did not get anything close to the HD experience that I was expecting. It was poor. So I'm glad it's Gorge and not George, because if it did have my name, I'd be really annoyed. So that genuinely, guys, I will never see this movie again. I'm not going back near this. No matter how good it looks, I am not going to see this film again. Even if they release it on physical media tomorrow, I am not going to see this movie again. I am done with The Gorge. John, what did you think?
I had a good time with it. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'm not going to disagree with any of the home theater stuff that you said, because I do agree. I kind of felt the same. It didn't really have the Apple TV magic that you kind of come to expect with, especially a movie like this. Visually, I agree. Again, I thought it looked, I thought it looked great, but audio wise, it was, definitely missing some punch, but I liked the movie. I mean, I'm not going to say it was, again, it was not Citizen Kane or anything.
Transformers.
And, And it definitely had, you know, I definitely had some eye rolls at certain things that happened. You know, like, why would that happen? But, but I had fun with it. I don't know. I thought it was exactly like I got exactly what I thought I was going to get from this movie. You know what I mean? Like, I knew there was going to be a love connection. You don't put these two people because, all right, you mentioned that they have a 1 year assignment that would lead people to believe that other people have had this assignment prior to them, right? Every other person that's been in the gorge has had to look across the gorge at a fat old Russian ugly guy. But Miles Teller, who looks like he just came off of a magazine page, gets to look at Anya Taylor-Joy. So you know there's going to be a love connection between the two of them. So if you didn't think that was going to happen, I think you
– There may have been with the fat Russian.
There might have been too because a year is a long time.
You got a whole year. You know, a year's a long time when
it's when you're stuck with no internet and TV.
You know, beggars can't be choosers, you know. And it's like,
but like – You knew that these two were going to have, yeah, you knew that there was going to be a romantic connection here. Otherwise, why not to have spoilers, but it's in the trailer.
Look at Steve.
You don't jump in the gorge after somebody if you don't, you know, if you didn't have a connection with them. You just let them fall in and you go on about your assignment for the next 10 months or whatever it is, you know?
Pretty big fan of the gorge.
So I don't know. I just felt like I got everything that I expected to get out of it. It was fun. I had a good time with it. I don't know when I'll watch it again, you know, but that doesn't mean anything. I don't go back and watch movies I like a lot all that often.
I don't really know
that I'll ever see it again, just like you, but not for the same reasons. I wouldn't actively avoid it, but, But I had fun with it. I thought it was good. You know, Lydia watched it. She thought it was fine. Like, she had a good time with it. So,
I mean, I'm heartened, guys. I love this safe space that we've created because we did exactly what we all do. When you don't get the experience in terms of HT you expect, you immediately think, well, my system's broken. Clearly my system's stuffed. That's it. No matter how many movies I watched today that sounded amazing. Right. Clearly my system's broken because of one movie, right? So I watched this on two other systems and the same problems, exactly the same. I even went on the iPad and put the AirPod Maxes on and thought, well, maybe there might be some bass in there. No, there's none. So it's good to see everyone in the chat saying, you know, TSG saying that, you know, the guns should sound great and had no punch. You know, PF production, same thing. I had to bump it up 10 dB, still underwhelming. So that's good to know that it wasn't just my experience because with Greyhound, again, those who've been around a long time will remember this. I just had no bass in Greyhound at all. And that was another Apple TV, you know, new release.
I think that was a case of
the internet. Yeah, that was the internet. Cause when I,
but that was
up,
a case of like they rushed that. I think they rushed that. That was Apple TVs. Mm-hmm. They literally, they bought it. Because it was during the pandemic. They bought it because who produced that in the first place? Studios sold it.
I think it was Sony. I think it was Sony.
Yeah.
So they sold it to Apple TV just to get it released and probably wasn't, you know, all of Apple TV's stuff since then has been their own stuff. And like we've always said, like Apple TV and Netflix know how to do this for streaming. And Van Gool asked the question a little while ago. He said, wonder how many go to Apple TV for their movies over Netflix. And if he means like Apple TV, like the channel, like the actual, not the your Apple TV or iTunes, but an Apple TV production, it's like those things, they aren't on Netflix. They're Apple TV productions.
Yeah, I don't go to one over
the
other.
To choose.
I just go where it is.
Exactly.
You have no choice. Yeah.
But maybe like, I don't know if maybe Van Gogh's saying like, so you can buy it on iTunes or watch it there, or you can wait for it to be released on Netflix or something like that. Right. Other movies, right? Not Apple TV productions. Right. But if you want best quality, I would still go to iTunes over Netflix. For, you know, but Netflix productions, they're not going to be on Apple TV and they're not going to be on iTunes either. Right. So it's kind of a,
There's no
weird question for that. There's no crossover there. But so I know iTunes has probably the most consistent for like, if you're purchasing streaming, to me, it's the most consistent.
Yeah. I mean, I've come to expect that it would be top quality. And I mean, we, again, you look mm-hmm. at, you look at, which are audio demos. I mean, you look at that Earth Sounds that I talked about a while back, which sound incredible, and they've got bass and they've got incredible audio. And it's like you're in the room, you know, right in the room with you. But this just doesn't have it. Now, I was wondering, I mean, see what you think of this, guys. I wondered, is it possible? And you know, if there's someone in the chat who's an expert in this, I mean, Paul may know this, or indeed in maybe we'll ask some others in due course. Is it possible that when Apple are releasing something big and something new, and this was a big release for them, this has been everywhere this week on social media and everywhere else. So there's a big ad spend on it. Is it possible that anticipating a lot of people trying to watch it, that they would throttle back on some of the file size and the streaming? Would they throttle back on some of the audio on it?
No.
Literally release it with less bandwidth and then once everyone's seen it, then release it properly. Is that even a thing? Mm. Or is that just me trying to jumping at shadows?
I don't think so.
Sound great. This is the thing. That's what I can't quite get my head
I know
head
what
around.
You're saying, but like, so they just for, you know, lameness, like reduce the bit rate for the first week so that everybody gets the same quality. No,
yeah.
Right. So it reduces the buffering. But your first week, not everybody's going to be watching at the prime time.
Mm. I didn't watch it till Monday afternoon. So.
Right.
Yeah,
so.
Okay.
Yeah, so to your point, Steve, it's like, you know, and I've seen that, and I've talked to people about that too. It's like they saw something that was newly released, and it might not have been Apple, it might have been Netflix or something, but I was like, and they didn't enjoy it, and I'm in like, what time did you watch this at? And it was literally the day it was released at like 7 p.m. And you're like, well, can you try it again? They do, and there you go. So they see the improvement. But lowering the bitrate to create a more consistent experience for people, maybe it would work, but I'm not sure. But then what happens when somebody tries to watch it during the day? Now they're getting a crappy experience, to your point. You know what I mean? Like a lesser experience but the bitrate doesn't need to be lowered. Why lower it? It's going to get lowered regardless. Or maybe it's going to, you know, it might buffer, but you don't want to reduce the experience. I don't know.
But I suppose if you're, because I mean, the reason I'm thinking, again, I think I'm trying to give Apple excuses.
Exactly.
but look at the Tyson fight on Netflix, right? That no one could
access. I'd
rather
not, but okay.
Yeah. It wasn't on for long.
No.
But that one there, no one could get onto it. No one could really get access to it. And when I say no one, I mean me, because it would just buffer and buffer and then crash. And I'm wondering whether there is a thought process at Apple, again, this may be complete nonsense, where they're thinking, well, look, it's again, if I might borrow a phrase from Hot Fuzz, Deej, it's for the greater good. This idea being most people watching this on smaller screens, that no one really cares about home theater people. Who are they? So we'll release it in a format that will look all right for most people. And no one will then complain they can't get access to it. And then in a couple of weeks where it's dying down, we'll then bump it up a bit. So then the HT people that might come in can then see it in a proper way. And the reason I think that not only is the Tyson fight, but also Greyhound, as I said, because that sounded great when I watched it again months later, albeit the upgraded internet. And I don't know, because I'm just not, I can't work out why all these other shows on Apple TV Plus sound and look fantastic. Right. And what is supposed to be a blockbuster, cutting edge, and Scott Derrickson's a very good director. Why this film would sound like it's like just as bad as it does. I just can't get my head around it.
It's got to be a mistake. It's got to be a mistake because Apple does everything so well that it doesn't make sense for them to throttle it back for something, for literally something that. It's not like it had a huge, it's not like we're talking, you know, Infinity War Endgame type hype that everybody was going to be tuning in and maybe you'd throttle that back. I mean, there is a precedent to be said for throttling stuff back. I know I'm pretty sure Aaron Braden talked about it on HT Guys. I've read it elsewhere, heard it elsewhere, but Netflix did a whole thing where the technology now is there for us to get 4K streaming really well. And let's say it's like, everybody can do like 10 megabits a second. That's pretty much what you can stream at. But they found it. It's like techno, and I'm just layman terms here. Well, we can get that to 20 easily, right? And it'd be like, all right, here's the technology. We can get it to 20. Everybody's going to be able to have 4K at 20 and be like, all right, let's do that. And they said, nope, let's throttle it back and be able to, now we could put out a really good 1080 at 10 and be it consistent for everybody. That's going on 100%. That's going on so that they can build for the masses, right? So they're not even trying. That's where it comes to, like, we're the minority here trying to get 4K everywhere, trying to improve it. They actually have the capability to improve 4K and Atmos for everybody in the home. But right now, the priority is improving 1080 and everything and making it more consistent. That is a thing. But what you're talking about here, it just doesn't make sense that Apple would be actually a singular, you know, piece of content and throttle it back for, like, say, a week and then let it free.
I don't think, even with high expectations that they might have, I don't think they anticipated that many people. Like, it was never going to get the viewership of the Tyson fight on Netflix. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't think they would expect that many people that they would consciously make a decision to throttle back.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I just can't get my head around it. That's the thing. That's what I'm struggling with.
And I see people. I hear you. But I think even in the best of days, it wouldn't come near those numbers to where they would even have to do that.
Right.
So
weird. It's really
strange. But it is weird because it begs the question because they're so – Apple's right, so
what
good.
Happened?
Right. Apple is just so good.
Yeah.
So – yeah,
I mean, it was enough for me not only to check all my settings and everything else. Again, bearing in mind, I'd watched movies that day and I watched since and, you know, had the whole room moving exactly as you want to. And yet one film's enough to throw you into a bit of a spin. And it was enough for me to say to visit two other people and do a test with AirPod Maxes just to see what's going on here and had exactly the same issue. And as I said, I'm glad to know everybody's had it as well. There's no one in the chat going, oh, it was fantastic. Everyone's right. I had an issue with it too. So,
It's like the streaming Ragnarok.
It was a gorge mouse track.
Yeah, exactly.
Unusual. You know, and there's points where they've got big, you know, my favorite 50 cal, you know, guns with tracer rounds, the whole shebang, two of them on opposite sides. And again, it's just like pop, pop, pop instead of, you know, this boom, boom, boom that you know, we would be expecting. But there we go. Never mind. Anyway, let's move on to something else more exciting now because everything else is good this week now.
I hope. This is you, John, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We're ready for this. Here we go. All right.
Okay, so this continues my martial arts resurgence over the last couple weeks. This is the 1994 Jet Li classic, Fist of Legend. So before I get too much into this, just to compare it to, I talked about Tai Chi Master last week, mm-hmm. which only came out a year prior to this. And you can really see either the rise in star power of Jet Li over just that particular year or the amount of budget that went into this movie compared to the previous movie, because it was like watching something that happened like two decades later when it comes to the picture quality that we got here. So this was 4K with Dolby Vision. However, it has a two-channel stereo mix, which I did, of course, upmix into Neuralex. So as far as the movie itself goes, I had never seen this movie either. This was the first time for me watching this, and I really enjoyed this movie. Again, just to compare it to Tai Chi Master, which I know he's had a lot of other films, but these are the two most recent ones that I've seen. Again, just night and day.
Is this a remix of Is this a remake of Fist of Fury? Is that what this is supposed to be? Bruce Lee's Fist of Fury? Is that what this is?
Not sure.
Okay, all right, sorry,
I'm not sure. I don't know. But just again, story wise and production wise, this was just miles above. I think Tai Chi Master was. This was a good story. Very coherent, very cohesive, movie story wise and great martial art. Just a great martial arts film. Now, this again is not in the wushu. I call it superhero kung fu style. This is very grounded, very realistic martial arts. And, you know, you really see the talent of the people. And funny enough, a lot of the same actors from Tai Chi Master, which, again, I imagine the pool in China of actors that they could use was not huge, which is why you probably see a lot of the same people. You know, I watch a lot of Italian TV because I'm, you know, to study up on my language. And I see the same actors in movie and show after movie and show, you know. And this is probably a similar thing where, you know, a lot of the same faces showed up. But yeah, but this was great. If you haven't seen this movie, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fantastic. As far as the presentation goes, this also looked great. As I mentioned, 4K Dolby Vision, super sharp, colorful, looked fantastic. The audio, again, okay. Just to go to the chat, if you want to pop it up, Jordan saying Fist of Legend is a remake of Fist of Fury.
Yeah, Bruce Lee's one. Yeah. Okay. I thought so. Okay. So.
But yeah, audio wise, this is nothing to write home about. Like I said, it was up mixed to NeuralX for whatever it's worth. I didn't really notice anything happening in anything except for the front stage of this. But that's not what, I mean, I wouldn't come to this movie expecting that anyways. But a lot of fun, excellent, production and great martial arts. Just solid all around. So
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I saw this back in 94 because I was big into him, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it, almost like you had to get everything.
This would have been this was pre Lethal Weapon, mind each. This is 94 and Lethal Weapon 4 is 98. So this is 4 years before that.
Because I think that's when we would have even heard of him, right?
Was 98. Like, yeah.
I don't think I knew of Jet Li until Lethal Weapon.
I feel like I've seen it, so maybe I saw it after the fact.
I knew it was a remake of Fist of Fury. I couldn't remember if I've seen this or not. I think I might have done, but not enough to remember it in any detail, other than I've seen Fist of Fury about 100 times. So I would know it from that. I think I've seen the fight sequence where he goes to the dojo and he returns the sign that says China's the sick man of Asia, you know, and then he goes in and then fights all the karate guys. And that's a famous scene from Fist of Fury, obviously with Bruce Lee. And I've seen that sequence on YouTube, I think a couple of times as well. It's kind of popped up. So yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, if you haven't seen it, Steve, I know you like these movies as well.
Yeah.
Definitely check this out. It'd be worth, again, I don't imagine the 4K disc, if it's available for you, I don't imagine it's very expensive.
I'll keep an eye. I don't think it's out of here. Jordan.
It might not be.
I don't need Amazon. I've got a Jordan.
Right.
You have a Hulk. I've got a Jordan.
Right. But so definitely worth, I think you'll enjoy it. It's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I like Fist of Fury, and a redoing remake of that with Jet Li of all people is intriguing and interesting. So yeah, no, I will. All right. Nice. Oh, that's cool.
Cool.
All righty. Cool. Right.
All right. Let's see. I'll do. Where did it go? There we go. All right. Just this one. Here we go. Just dropped today.
Oh. This one's going out to Sophia, who requested this.
Yeah. Sophia, the whole family. They actually saw it in theaters. Mufasa, the Lion King. Disney's Mufasa, the Lion King. Dropped on Kaleidoscape today. I pre-purchased it and I got the download yesterday. It said download. I was all excited. I thought I was going to be able to watch it yesterday, but it's like, does the download. And then it's like, okay, you can't watch it till the 18th. I was like, son of a. But yeah, this is in, it's all the bells and whistles, 4K, HDR, you know, Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos. And it's really, really good. I'll say that picture wise, sound wise. And it's funny. You mentioned earlier Atmos earlier, and we were talking about how maybe they like subdue it a little bit for the masses. And I kind of felt like they did that with this one.
Oh.
Like this is a big time family movie, like The Lion King is, right? I'm going home theater first on this and then I'll tell you about the movie afterwards. But, yeah, it's, I did feel like it was subdued only because there wasn't a lot of opportunity to be like huge. Like maybe they could have done a stampede. There is a scene, you know, they could have amped up the stampede with the bass a little bit. There was a scene, actually a couple of scenes where they say the ground will shake, right? And it didn't in my room. Like they could have literally like shook and shaken the room a little bit and given you that feeling, which I think I talked about in today's Takeover Tuesday, you can have that. And it didn't have it. But it doesn't take away from the movie. You know, it would have been nice to have a little bit more punch there. There were some nice, you know, effects, overhead effects. The Atmos was nicely represented. It had atmosphere. I mean, you're out in the, you know, not the jungle, but it was
savannah.
The savannah. Beautiful shots. I thought the picture was very well done. It wasn't as dynamic as I would have liked. It seemed a little bit, maybe washed out. A little bit, but then that's also because it's bright out there, right? And there, you know, you're not going to get those deep, deep blacks. You're not going to get high contrast out in with the sun and everything like that. The vibrancy was there though, was, you know, when they wanted to show flowers or anything vibrant, it did pop. But it felt, I don't want to say flat, but it felt like it was a little bit like the black levels weren't as deep as they possibly could have been, like on other that I've seen on other movies. The animation I thought was really, really good. Again, really, really good. But I knew it was animation. You know, there's times when you see animation and you go, that looks so real. This didn't. This had a, it was like you knew that it was, and it was before they started speaking, right? Like obviously once an animal starts talking, it kind of takes your brain out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, this was at the very beginning and I'm like, there was a, I know they can do this where you can't tell. Like it's hyper real. Like is that a lion or is that, you know, we've seen it in like live action movies and that's literally a lot. It's not a lion. It's digitally put into the movie, right? This didn't have that feel. This had a feel of like hyper realistic animation, but it wasn't like realistic. Like you would be like, I'm just watching real lions. It didn't have that. Which isn't a bad thing. You know, I mean, the original Lion King was not hand drawn. Well, yeah, I think it actually was.
It was.
So it doesn't take you out of the movie. You know, that's the home theater experience. Definitely. I mean, I love the movie, the actual movie itself, the story, the ending. It adds to the original, you know, it tells you a little bit more. Obviously it's a backstory. I loved how they wrapped it. I loved how they told the story. It's like they're literally telling a story. You'll see when you see the movie. It's not a spoiler. But the way they're telling the story, it's very well done. It's very funny. Much like The Lion King, there is some comic relief in it. And I really enjoyed it all the way through. And the wrap up at the end, made me want to go watch the original, like almost like right away. There's one line in there about the music from the original, and I won't spoil it for you, but it's in there. And I like literally laughed out loud. I was like, yep, that's true. It was pretty funny. And they kind of laugh at themselves a little bit, with different parts of the movie. So, as a family movie, definitely, you know, I recommend it. As a home theater movie, it's not a home theater movie. But it is, it's not enhanced. Let's put it that way, but it is very well done and very enjoyable. So, but really, really enjoyed it.
I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I haven't seen it yet. Jordan says in the chat that it's out on 31st of March, so I can wait for that. Okay. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to seeing it. I obviously the original Lion King's a masterpiece. No doubt. The live action version is fun and okay. And this I'm expected to be something like that. So I'm certainly looking forward to it. All right. No, nice. So Deej, before we get to the big one of the week, I'll quickly do one that just because then I can at least get excited about it. In fact, very excited, very quickly.
Okay.
Then I don't feel so bad. The one beginning with C next to that one there.
No,
sorry, I realize there's two. Sorry. The other one beginning with C.
Sorry, all right, this one you mean? Or the other one?
The other one beginning with C. Other one. Sorry, apologies. I thought there was only one and I realized it's been a C kind of week.
All right.
Yeah, next to it. Oh, that one.
There we go.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
There you go. Oh, yeah. And I already purchased this one. So, there you go.
All right. So this then is Constantine, the Keanu Reeves movie, released here yesterday from Warner's 4K UHD Dolby Atmos, all singing, all dancing. And let me just put the milk right at the front of the store, as you are wont to say, Deej.
Yeah,
this is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So the movie, I've seen it loads of times. Have you guys presumably both seen it plenty of times?
Long time
well?
Ago. Haven't seen it in a while. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a while either, but I've seen it more than once.
Yeah.
Then, right, fellas, I know you've already purchased it, Deej, by the sounds of it. John?
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking at it right now. I'm keeping it in.
It was downloading. I had to stop it. Just because I need the bandwidth in the house.
So I've seen the movie lots of times. I've got the Blu-ray. I haven't seen it also for a long time, but you know, I've seen it many, many times. At least I thought I had seen it many, many times. Turns out I hadn't seen it at all until yesterday evening when I saw this movie in a whole new way.
Here we go.
It is awesome. Now, I'd forgotten just how good the movie is. I seem to remember thinking that it was fun and it was, you know, it was kind of disposable. I come to this with nothing, by the way, not having ever read the comics. So, you know, this was all when I first saw this, I knew nothing about the character. But I'd seen it a number of times and then coming to it again all this time later, I had forgotten just how much fun this is and how really good the movie is as a story. But talk about enhanced, chaps. Goodness gracious me. Right. The video on this is absolutely incredible. Now, bearing in mind that there's a lot of CG, so the CG shots, and there's been reviews talking about some of the CG shots are soft, because, of course, when this was shot, it was all on film and there were only 2K intermediates. But that does not take away from the sheer quality of this remaster. It's fantastic, chaps. And at times, three-dimensional, lots of close-up shots showing every little pore. I didn't realize how many dental issues Keanu Reeves had until seeing this, because you can see it all. And I don't think that's part of the character. I think it just is what it is. And it is absolutely awesome. The shadow details are great. The dark, there's lots of dark scenes of what must be angels flying over the city because you could hear the wing beats. And you could see every little pinprick of light, every little detail, all really three dimensional. It's fantastic. And as good as the video is, it ain't got a patch on the audio. So this is a new Atmos mix. No one's just pressed an Atmos button here. Someone spent some time on this because it is awesome right from the beginning. You know, obviously this is a Warner's disc. So, you know, 300 begins with this kind of, you know, all this movement right from the beginning. So does this. And you get pans right across the front stage of the sort of hellscape as it kind of rolls in. And again and again and again, this movie rocks. You get the sequences in hell, which is all the flames and everything else. And of course, all that's moving right around the room and all over the top. There are numerous sequences in this. This is almost a push play demo, but my absolute favorite of a lot of favorites is the sequence towards the end where a character walks through, I think it's a window. A window's been smashed and it goes into slow motion. And this character is then walking through the shattered pieces of glass. And it's like that Dolby Atmos trailer that talks about, you know, where you get the baseball goes through the glass and you can hear it all going. It's exactly like that. And there's an extended sequence of a character walking through, and you can hear the glass. Every time he hits one of the glass pieces, you get that little tink sound, yeah. And it moves right around the room in 3D space. It's awesome. And because it's in slow motion, you can just sit there and just listen to it just go, and you just get this tink all around the room. As I said, a film full of audio demo sequences, but this one in particular is well worth seeing. It's right towards the end. I don't want to give it away, but like I said, there's a character walking through these bits of glass. Wait until you hear that, fellas. You are going to be blown away. It is like an Atmos demo all in one. This disc is a no-brainer, must buy. Get it yesterday, as you did, Dieter, didn't you?
Yeah, there you go.
it's $19.99 over here. It is a steal, bearing in mind the quality of the audio and the video. This,
I think it's $24.99 on Kaleidoscape.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, so $19.99 here on disc. But this restored my faith in my system after the horror of the Gorge. This is awesome. It's great, guys. Really good. The bass on it is very, very good indeed. Gunfire sounds like guns. Nice. You know, everything that's mean and nasty sounds like it's mean and nasty, and it has weight and heft. It's great. So, yeah, I can't recommend this enough. It's fantastic.
All right. I feel like we'll be talking about it again next week. So, so with that, we will, we'll move on to our, which is going to be our featured title for the week. And something, well, I'll say here, like what we were going to do is, since we're running late anyway, Steve, you can go late, right?
Yeah. Go for it.
A little
bit
late. You're good. Yeah. So we're going to do here is, well, let's introduce it first and then we'll say what we're going to do for everybody. Talking about Captain America, not the First Avenger, right, guys? All right. Brave New World. All three of us have seen it in theaters. So what we're going to do this week, something different. We're just going to run, we're going to talk and then run the popcorn for spoilers. But instead, what we'll do is we'll end the show. We'll talk like we normally do. End the show. If you want to stick around, if you've seen it, we'll talk spoilers afterwards. So the credits will roll and everything. We're not going anywhere. We'll still be here. And we'll talk spoilers about Captain America, Brave New World, talk all the fun stuff. Or if there is fun stuff, let's get to it first. But so Captain America, Brave New World. Who wants to go first?
Who wants to be the first Avenger, you're saying?
Yeah, there you go. Wow, we nailed it, just like in rehearsal.
Done my bit. You guys take the lead.
There you go. I'll
jump in. John, how about you, buddy? You're the comic book boy. You're doing better than I do.
What'd
you think?
Okay, so I thought it was fine. You know,
nice.
It definitely isn't the strongest outing that Marvel's had, but it's by far not the worst. Like, it was, I've heard a lot of mixed reviews, you know, obviously you always do when a movie like this comes out, from it's total trash to it's the best thing ever. And it's not either one of those things. It's just good. Like, this would fall very in the middle of my list of ranking the Marvel movies. And I didn't see this in the best screen either. Like, I wasn't able to get it in the big, what do we call it? It's the XD Cinemark. That's the best screen I have that's anywhere close to me. And I didn't get to see it on that. So it wasn't, by far a terrible presentation, but it's not the best that I could have had either. This is a modern, brand new 2025 Marvel release. It's going to look great on disc. I would say it's going to sound great too, but you know, there is a bit of a history with Disney, not having the best sound mixes. So we'll just have to wait and see, but I wouldn't expect anything other than a great home theater experience from this when you get it home on disc. We're going to talk spoilers afterwards, so I won't say too much about it, but it definitely it laid the seeds for some things to come, which I thought were interesting. Yep. It did revisit something that I thought was going to be completely ignored forever.
We'll talk about that in spoilers.
So that was nice.
Yeah.
But I just found it okay, you know. So I guess next.
So I mean, first, just looking at that picture, I've just realized, how is the Hulk creating sparks on that shield?
So my son and I have had this as a running joke since literally the first Avenger movie, right? Captain America, first Avenger. And they tell you about vibranium, which it's supposed to absorb everything.
Right. Mm.
When you hit it, there should be no sound.
Right. Mm.
And there's always sound. It's a special sound, actually. It's a boing. You know, is it? No. If it absorbs all the energy, there should be nothing. There should be nothing coming from it. So, but go ahead, Steve.
I just suddenly saw the sparks. I'm just thinking, what? Anyway.
Well, we'll talk about that in spoilers if you remember to say sparks later, because there's a scene in the movie, too, that has sparks. And I'm like, why is that sparking? But go ahead.
Okay, so I saw this in a fairly decent theater with, you know, leather recliners, all that stuff. We all have access to, but I have some behind the scenes knowledge of this movie and how many times it was reshot. And I will tell you now, it was quite a few times. And when I say reshot, I mean reshot. This film is not one where it was a case of let's do a few pickups. This film was shot and shot and shot and shot again. And I think that it is very clear. The joins are showing, I think, on this, on a number of occasions. But anyway, so I went in with it, not expecting this to be any good at all. And again, the friend that I mentioned earlier had seen it and said, oh, you know, it was fun. But I went in with it with quite low expectations because of what I know about how this was stitched together. And again, it was stitched together. So I didn't expect much. And I have to say, I was pleasantly surprised. I did enjoy this. I'm with you, John. I think this is kind of mid-tier Marvel. This is your kind of B, if I don't know what, Guardians of the Galaxy 1, Infinity War, obviously Endgame are all A+, right? They're all A+. And if, you know, I don't know what you put, say the Marvels is say C level, this is solid B, right in the middle for me in terms of kind of its quality.
If you break it up into thirds, like there's the top 12, bottom 12, this is in the middle, you know,
that's a rough number right there. And which is a triumph in and of itself, bearing in mind how this was made and the way in which this was put together. So I was very pleasantly surprised. I was never bored. It's nice and quick. It's not a 2.5 hour slog. It's actually, you know, quite lean and mean, really. And I did enjoy it. I at no point was I looking at my watch. At no point was I thinking, okay, oh God, we've got another hour to go. You know, it rattles along. And everyone does decent performances in it. Everyone puts in a decent shift. I think there are story issues which come from the fact that it's been stitched together. I'm not even sure, by the way, the main villain as presented was the villain when this started out. I think that's been stitched together as well.
No.
More about which in spoilers. I don't think he was a villain at all in the way this began. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought the action was good. It made me rewatch The Eternals. Excuse me. So it must be quite good. And so, which I did this evening, and we'll talk probably more about that next week. So I thought it was good. I did enjoy it, and I will certainly pick up the disc and I'll watch it again on Disney Plus if it hits that beforehand. I'm looking forward to seeing it again, which is not what I can always say about every Marvel thing that I've seen. So, solid B, a lot of fun, and you know, I'm looking forward to seeing it again.
Yeah, same here. Same as far as the movie goes. I agree, like, with you guys 100%. Mid-level, which is, for Marvel, is pretty, as far as movies go, a mid-level Marvel movie is actually a pretty good movie in my book. Even like the worst Marvel movie, you're like, okay, well, I was entertained for most of them. I can't even think of like the lowest ones where you're like,
I think most of them at the bottom of the list aren't there because they're bad. They just get pushed further down.
It's like, because things are so.
Number 30, I don't know how many of these there have been, but number 30, I wouldn't just say, oh, well, that's absolutely the worst movie in the bunch.
Right.
It just kind of is where it ends up because
keep
sliding up in front on top of it, you know?
Without spoilers, this actually rejuvenates a movie too. that is pretty low on the list. That actually isn't a Marvel movie, too.
Right.
Technically. So it is pretty cool. Like, I like that part story wise. Home theater wise, the theater I saw it in is Showcase X Plus, and they actually, they have the, I think I said it the last time I was at the theater, they have a Barco laser projector. They run the ad for it at the end of all the trailers, which is pretty cool. They have a decent Atmos system there, lacking in the bass. And I've said that before, but they run the Atmos trailer, which I think Atmos, you know, Dolby's got to freshen that up because it opens with the future of sound is here. It came out 10 years ago, 11 years ago. It's like, we're in the future now.
The present of sound is here.
Yeah, the present of sound is here. Yeah. But the picture on this was really good in this theater. So I have high hopes for the home experience, the home theater experience. Same with the sound. There were a couple of scenes here with, you know, the shields flying around. Mm. It was flying around the room. I have high hopes of that happening. And
spoilers, Deej, come on.
What's that?
Spoilers, come on. Carl, the shield. There's a shield.
The shield flying around. Yeah, exactly. Who knew? But, and even, obviously, I would expect what I experienced there, the bass to be ramped up in my theater, even if it is an Atmos track. So home theater wise, I think this is going to be a very good experience. Mm-hmm. And movie wise, I agree with you guys, you know, 100%. It's, you know, middle of the road, but did its job, right? Like John said, like it intrigues you on what's coming in the future. There is an end credit scene. I don't think that's a spoiler, but I would let everybody know because I'm always the one that's like,
yeah, no,
I
need to look this scene up
before I go. Yeah. And then I'm always the one when the credits roll to be like, is there an end credit scene? Because they hadn't done them in a few, I think. But there is an end credit scene. It is at the very, very end. And we'll talk about that in spoilers too. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So movie wise, like you said, I wasn't looking at my watch, really enjoyed it, was riveted. But middle of the road and, cause they have some great stuff. So can't, you know, this isn't coming in and beating the top 12. That's for sure.
No,
but that doesn't mean it's bad, which is crazy. You know, it's like,
as I say, bearing in mind how this film was made and what, and I mean, the journey of this film is not a million miles away from Apocalypse Now, you know, in terms of it this film shouldn't hang together as well as it does. You know, the sellotape that they've used on this is really good stuff.
Yeah.
Cause it, you know, this should be dreadful. It should be all over the place. But the fact that they've been able to cobble together, and again, I mean this, any kind of coherent story from this. And again, we'll talk spoilers in a minute in terms of kind of the cliche of it all, but that they've been able to do this is a triumph, and there will be certain executives at Marvel breathing a heavy sigh of relief that this came out as well as it did. Cause it really shouldn't have done.
It also, well, again, for anybody that hasn't seen it and intends to, it leans very, very heavily on the Disney Plus series. So if you haven't seen that as well, definitely recommend, what was it? Falcon Winter Soldier?
Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
America Winter Soldier, whatever it was called. I mean, it leans really heavy to the point where I wish I had rewatched it before coming in to see this movie. But, you know, I would definitely see that if you haven't.
Yeah, I've got the 4K discs of those. I still haven't watched them. That's ones that, again, my brother bought back from Canada, and haven't watched them, so I need to do that.
But you'd seen the show,
Show. Yeah, I thought the show was fun. Yeah, so I'm going to rewatch that. I think probably next because I think that Anthony Mackie is a good actor, and he is
fun. For sure.
I've heard some issues about him as a person, but as an actor, he's really good, and I think he gives good Captain America.
Yeah.
It was good. Yeah, yeah. No, I enjoyed that.
It was good. Yeah, and I had no problem. Yeah. Again, a lot of people have issue with the character. I had no problems with that. I thought he did a great job. Any of the heavy lifting that needed to be done, he did. So I had no issues with that. But, you know, like I said, it had a few eye rolls too.
Of course. You're going to get that.
Yeah.
You know.
But
all right.
All right. You want to, we'll wrap up here. So if you want to, anybody wants to stick around for the spoiler talk, we're going to do that right after the, well, what we're going to get for a trailer here for a closeout. Where is it? Where is our closeout here? There it is. God, I found it. There we go. So anybody not sticking around, thank you very much. Thanks to all the Patreon supporters. Remember, $1 a month. If everybody, we could all retire. But yeah, I don't know what I'm doing for a Takeover Tuesday next week. But we'll have something. And, thank everybody for listening. Thank everybody for watching. If you want to stick around, we got some spoiler talk. But, until next time, you know what you gotta do.
Go push play.
What he said.
That's right.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a...
And we're back. That didn't take long.
No.
So I didn't want to make it.
It threw me. Away. I was like, what's going on?
Yeah, we are back. Yeah, we are back. So we're going to talk spoilers for Captain America, Brave New World, and probably most of Marvel. If you haven't seen them all.
Yeah.
Twice.
Twice, at least. Yeah. So, yeah, this is something different, something new we thought we'd try. And so kind of fun. So who wants to be the first with the spoilers?
Sparks, DJ. Sparks.
Sparks. Who said it in the chat? Somebody said that there is a continuity in the movie that explains the sparks there, but I don't think that continuity, the pieces of metal that he sent at him, they actually, I can douse that right now. The metal he was shooting at him was more vibranium.
It was vibranium, mm-hmm. Right.
Right. So vibranium on vibranium, it never should spark. And I was just going to say.
Well, and they weren't in his knuckles.
He didn't shoot it at his hands, you know. Mm-hmm. But the sparks that I noticed was when he turned into the Red Hulk. Why are his clothes sparking?
I didn't see what you mean. Like melting and,
clothes is he wearing that, like, when you rip it in half, it goes, it just started sparking and burning at the edges. That didn't make sense either. But again, didn't take away from the movie itself.
I think I was a bit, you know, this movie, and even in this image that we're looking at, I mean, it's sold as Red Hulk and Captain America. And Red Hulk appears in about the last 7 minutes of the film, give or take the epilogue that you're always going to get. But I mean, it's about 5 or 6 minutes of screen time for Red Hulk. So I was a bit let down by that. Although again, I mean, it's like Batman and Superman, right? Like in real world terms, not that this is real world by any means, but you can't have an hour of the Hulk fighting Captain America because the Hulk will just
kill him.
Right, just Hulk smash, we'll just smash Captain America. So, I mean, you can only do it for so long, but I thought we'd get a little more Red Hulk in this film than we did.
What I was disappointed about was I think it's a shame that they had trailed it so heavily. I think had you not known what was coming, seen? So Harrison Ford, red eyes, you're thinking, oh God, what's this going to be? What's going to happen? Is he going to be a bit like Killian in Iron Man 2? Is he going to just burst into flames? Iron Man 3. Is he going to just burst into flames? Is that what they're going with? If he'd just come out of nowhere and just become the Red Hulk, I think people would have just their jaws dropped to the floor.
Sure. Readers know. Comic readers all know that Thunderbolt Ross is the Red Hulk.
Okay, so I mean,
most of the general mass public who spends most of the money on these movies wouldn't know that. But yeah, right. You're right. But that's trailers in general. I mean, they always spoil the best bits.
Well, I think they must at some point there's been a calculation done, isn't it? Which is, are people going to just come along and see a movie called Brave New World, Captain America, right. Or we need to show them there's something different here. So at some point, one of the marketing guys said, I don't care. We're going to put the Red Hulk front and center because we need to get bums on seats. We need to get people in. And that's all there is to it. I think as well that, I know that the Red Hulk was in it a lot more initially. Again, this is one of the changes that has been made, is the Hulk then comes at the end. This, like I said, take it from me. The story of this has been cobbled together in post-production and with sticky tape and with, you know, reshoot after reshoot after reshoot, because right. I can't imagine that anyone in Marvel really thought right from the beginning, I've got a great idea. We're going to have mind control.
You think, leader.
Didn't we have that in Austin Powers? And didn't we have that in, you know, just about every other movie from the 80s and the 90s? You know, the idea of just, it's mind control, right? And we'll play some music and that'll mean they'll do what they're told. You think, whoa, okay.
Well, especially since it was the whole crux of introducing Bucky into the Marvel universe.
Yeah, with the words. I
mean, the trigger words and the, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, it was very on brand for a Captain America movie, but. But yeah, I don't know that the leader it was probably their first choice for a Marvel villain.
No.
I'm glad, you know, for those that read comics, I'm glad they didn't give him the giant cone head.
Yeah.
Like you get in the comics. And I love Tim Blake Nelson. So, I mean, I'll watch him do anything. But yeah, I can't imagine he was the. When they first dreamed of this movie, that it was the leader that they were,
thinking of. It looks clear to me again that this is, I'm not even sure he was the villain initially. I mean, it looks like he has just been, you know, inserted, almost photoshopped in. And you'll know, because if you watch it next time you see it, watch the number of times, firstly, the ADR is used. So where they use camera angles where the person's head is cut off and they're then giving important exposition. This happens a number of times. There's a couple of times where you've got Anthony Mackie stood in what looks just in front of a plate of that's out of focus as he's kind of giving dialogue as well, because that's another stitch. But also it does look like the leader's just been dropped in, like photoshopped into these scenes. And there's a reason why you don't really see, you know, he's in darkness for most of it.
Right. You don't see him till almost the end.
Yeah. And it's not because it's an alien style, Jaws style reveal. It's because they're like, look, we need something and we've got to just kind of come up with something here. But I'm not, like I said, I get that, but the fact that they've produced it and made it as coherent as they have, or even with its incredible clichedness, you know, cause it's even Naked Gun. I mean, hell, they had it in that, didn't they? With the mind control, with the thing. I mean, it's been done to death.
And how did he, Ian, we're in spoilers. Like, how the hell does Isaiah Bradley get a gun into the White House? Like, where did that come from?
Yeah. Right.
Unless somebody like bumps into him at the party and drops it in his pocket, because if he wasn't under mind control until he was in the lobby looking at his phone, why was he armed in the first place? I couldn't figure out how instantly I was like, how did he get a gun in the White House? Like, there's just no way he gets through security.
Because he's not Secret Service, is he? He's not anything like that.
So I couldn't figure that out at all. Again, and I just thought of it as I was speaking. Unless somebody literally like bumps into him at the party and drops it into his pocket. But it's not like you're dropping a nickel. I mean, a handgun's got some heft to it. You would know if it was in your jacket pocket before you sat down.
I'd like to think so.
Presumably, also, it would be like hitting you in the side as you're walking. So,
yeah, my jacket.
Yeah, that is a pretty. I mean, some of the people that start shooting are Secret Service,
right?
So you get that, but
you get they're armed. But
is it an omission that they didn't show that he grabbed somebody else's? I don't know.
I don't know why he was armed.
Right. It is kind of weird.
Yeah.
But also, did you notice with Isaiah Bradley in particular how his hair keep changing?
Yeah, when he was in prison,
really,
his hair was
different.
Yeah. They were definitely not
shot
be
reshoots,
at the same time.
That's why they haven't even tried to hide it.
Because he gets out of prison with a haircut, you know.
It goes backwards and forwards between the kind of the wild and crazy hair and then kind
I
of
things. I definitely noticed
close.
That too.
Yeah.
They must have gave him a trim when he got released from prison.
I like that it reintroduces Tiamat. I like that they've suddenly remembered, as we were talking before the show, I like they've suddenly remembered that there's this giant celestial just sat
there. Well, that's the whole thing. It's – what, 2021 Eternals came out? Yeah. So what have we had, a dozen, well, I don't know, seven or eight Marvel projects since then, and nobody's addressed the giant celestial in the middle of the Indian Ocean? So I was like, right. are we ever going to talk about this in Marvel history again? So
And also
– and having, that it introduced adamantium, which was interesting.
What was interesting about that is, having just rewatched the Eternals tonight – and again, we'll talk more about it next week in terms of its HT experience and everything.
Yeah.
You know, it says in there, she says, I've turned it to stone. And also there is then a news report that says the giant creature has been turned to stone. And you're like, okay, so we've not retconned that very cleverly then, have we, if we're now saying that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, see, I haven't seen the Eternals in a while.
Yeah, so she says, I've turned it to stone. And it's said a number of times, so it's like, so we haven't retconned that very cleverly. But never, you know, but it is cool that this film does introduce adamantium. That's everyone gets excited then, because that then paves the way for Wolverine. Right. And so, you know, the MCU Wolverine, not the Fox Wolverine. It's a fun retcon, but it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense, but you know, they have to introduce it somehow.
It doesn't mean it hasn't existed all the way through. It's funny you said it, it's like the new MCU Wolverine. It could be all the way back to the Foxes, because they, like I said, they brought in the original Incredible Hulk movie with what's his name, Banya?
Played Eric him. Banya, right, because that was Tyler was his Betty, right? Or was she in
Norton. Ed Norton, the 2000
Norton one. Okay. Yeah, that's right. It was Ed Norton one. I'm sorry, not the Eric Banya.
But they talked about Blonsky, which was the Abomination, and that was from the first.
Tim Roth. That was still Tim Roth. So it did bring that.
I get them all confused.
Because he comes back in Shang-Chi as well, isn't he? He's in Shang-Chi, and you see him.
That's right.
That one had, but then that was canon all along. Robert Downey Jr. is in that. At the end of the 2000s.
Yeah, the end of it, yeah. But it's one of the worst, it was considered one of the worst movies, and it rejuvenates that and brings it to a reality.
Yeah, because this was very, very gamma heavy. Like, this was almost a Hulk movie more than it was a Captain America movie. Because we had the leader, we had Betty, you know, we had all this gamma stuff going on. Mm. And,
but I think,
which I didn't expect at all. Like, I wasn't expecting that at all in this movie.
Have Marvel got the rights to the Hulk back yet from Universal, or do Universal still have it?
Well, I think only in the where they can't do a standalone Hulk film.
So there you go, isn't
it? Be a character
within the movie. Yeah. So that's how you do a Hulk movie, isn't it? You call it Captain America Brave New World and everything's Hulk.
Right.
I mean, that's how you get around it, isn't it?
That's how you do Avengers 2.5, is you make Civil War and you call it a Captain America movie.
There you go, you bring it in. And maybe that's how you get Venom in the MCU, by having it as a Spider-Man movie with just Venom dropping in.
Right.
You know, fingers crossed. So as I said, it is good they brought Tiamat back. I like that they've done that. That has reinvigorated me, because I only saw Eternals once and I didn't think much of it. And I rewatched it again tonight. And then that's not only reinvigorated the Incredible Hulk, it's reinvigorated the Eternals and actually gives that more interest. And I did enjoy it quite a bit more the second time around.
Because now, presumably, it won't be the last time we see that, right? Like,
hopefully
not. That should play a big role going forward.
Yeah.
Although,
if we're then talking about the end credits scene, which are talking about the others, and of course, as I understand it, that's all about Secret Wars.
I was just saying, that's got to be Secret Wars.
Yeah, so everything's going to take place off-world anyway, won't it? So they won't have to talk about Tiamat.
True.
Because if they're taken to Battleworld, I mean, sorry guys, this is where I lose my geek card. My Secret Wars knowledge comes from the first Secret Wars back from the 80s, which, by the way, just while we're talking, guys, because we're all friends here, what is cool about Secret Wars, one of the reasons I love it, is my dad came back from like the newspaper store, whatever it was, back in the 80s, right? And he came back and I hadn't collected comics for years. And I was still, you know, I would have only been 9 or 10, but I still hadn't collected them for quite a long time. And he just came back this day, having been and got a newspaper, and he must have seen a comic on a stand there, because, you know, that said Secret Wars, and he must have just seen Spider-Man on it, because that's what I used to collect, was only the Spider-Man ones. And he said, oh, Steve, he said, I've just come out from the shop. He said, I've just seen this. I thought you might like it. And that was Secret Wars issue 1.
Oh, wow.
And nice. I was just like, oh, my God. And I was reading that, and it blew me away, and I got them all. Logs had got rid of them, of course. I wish I kept them.
Yeah, you, at least number eight.
Yeah, well, yeah. So I read them all. So Secret Wars has got a special place in my heart, but I'm a little bit worried because I know there's been, what, two other versions of Secret Wars, at least there's one other one.
Well, there is Secret Wars 2, which was literally a sequel with the Beyonder. But then the revamped Secret Wars was Doctor Doom. It was like very different. I don't know what version, if any, we're going to get because I don't know what Marvel's plans are.
I want Battleworld. I want the Beyonder. I want the.
I would love to see that.
Hulk lifting up an entire like mountain, and Spider-Man discovering the black suit properly this time. That's what I hope for. But I'm worried we're going to get the Invincibles version of it or whatever it is, the newer version, which I'm really not looking forward to. I'm hoping we're not going to get that. So to get back to Tiamat, of course, if it all takes place on Battleworld anyway, they won't be mentioning anything on Earth, so they'll never have to mention it again.
We're going to get there's going to be other projects in between. Like, we're years away from Secret Wars.
It's shooting this year, isn't it? So we'll get it end of next year? Yeah, start shooting in the summer because Tom Holland is shooting. He's shooting the Odyssey Odysseus, whatever it is, Odyssey for Chris Nolan.
Yeah, the Odyssey,
and then Spider-Man 4 as well. And they're talking about how most of Secret Wars will be a guy in a suit, and he'll just give the voice. He'll just do the voice. He will do what Pedro Pascal did in The Mandalorian.
I thought we were a couple of years. I thought we were still.
Yeah, I think it's next year, end of next year, and then the next one's after. So it's Doomsday, and then forgive me.
Then you can't
Doomsday
do it.
And then it's Secret Wars, isn't it?
Okay, then we don't get what we want because we have yet to introduce the X-Men. We really haven't introduced. I mean, we're getting Fantastic Four this year, but that's 1960s Fantastic Four. I don't know how we get them into present day, unless it all happens.
Could be a flashback.
It's all alternate. They're in an alternate timeline anyway, aren't they? They're in another universe. Yeah. It's another multiverse.
Right. So I think they get. So I don't know how
they'll bring
them
in.
But I mean, to do Secret Wars, Battle World, you need all those. I mean, you need the whole roster for that. So,
I mean, I'll be very excited if we get that.
Me too. But
day one,
that's why I was thinking it was still.
Well, like anything else, it's going to be a take.
Well, right.
It's going to be a version that it's probably going to be like a mix of versions just because they've never done anything to the letter.
That's what I'm saying. Everything we've gotten already doesn't match exactly through the comics because you can't. You haven't had the same setup for a lot of these things that, comics have had.
I'd be willing to bet we won't get Kang. You might be off the board.
what did you think of the switcheroo bringing in Harrison Ford?
What, is Thunderbolt Ross?
You had to because
they had no choice because he died, right?
That's what I mean, but it's like, did you think they did a decent job with it? What did you think?
Harrison Ford is Harrison Ford. I mean, I'm not going to say he's never turned in a bad performance because he's had a few, but I mean, he's Harrison Ford. So I thought he was fine.
I thought it was cool.
I loved seeing his face on the Hulk. I mean, of all things that you never thought you'd see in your lifetime, Harrison Ford Hulk is one of them, but, I thought he was great.
Hulk.
I thought he was fine.
and the dial of density. I think he was having a bit of fun in this. Again, I'm careful choosing my words because again, I know a bit about what happened with him. But I think as presented, I think he's perfectly fine. It's not one of his standout roles. It's not one you're going to really be looking back and thinking, oh, well, Shrinking, he's fantastic in Shrinking.
He's so good in Shrinking.
Oh, my goodness me. That is his Emmy award winning kind of thing. I mean, that Shrinking's fantastic. Sure. But he puts in a perfectly acceptable performance. I've been talking to a number of people recently about Shrinking and saying, I'm wondering if we've missed an incredible actor here by having him play Han Solo, Indiana Jones. And we've actually not given him the roles he should have had to make him the greatest, one of the greatest actors of all time, based on his performances in Shrinking. I mean, he's incredible in that.
He's incredible, but it's also, I don't think you get that performance out of him at 35.
Yeah,
you know, true. I mean, I think he's got to be 80. You know,
yeah,
to do that.
Yeah.
You're right. He's a much better actor than I've ever given him credit for. You know, yeah. I mean, he's always just been leading man, Indiana Jones. You know, I've never considered him like a Oscar worthy actor, but
no, and yet he's fantastic. He is. I mean, I think I mean, I was talking to an actor about it last week and he said, oh, what about Witness? And I said, well, he's fantastic in that, but that's a very quiet role. He doesn't have to, there's nothing terribly showy in that. I mean, look at Mosquito Coast regarding Henry, you know, what lies beneath. He's a bad guy in that. Spoiler alert. Regarding Henry,
he's actually very good in that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. And Working Girl and, you know, things like that. You know, he's done some roles, but Shrinking seems to have a completely different side to him. And it's a side that I wish we'd seen more. I mean, I just think he's so good in that. Anyway, that's spoilers for Shrinking.
Now we go back and watch Shrinking.
Yeah. It turns out Bruce Willis is dead, right? It turns out Kaiser Soze may or may not be, Kevin Spacey. we did say spoilers, didn't we?
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We spoil every movie. Yeah, exactly. We said it.
Rosebud's the name of the sled.
Jesus. Oh, God.
And things don't turn out well for Old Yeller.
I also, did Captain America in this movie, was he funded by the U.S. government? Because, like, I don't know how he afforded the Captain America cave that he was living in.
Because, Wakanda.
I mean, they gave him his armor, but I don't know that they funded his entire life. Like,
well, he gets free beer or free drinks. Yeah. It's like, I'm sure.
It just seemed like he was, like, pretty well to do. Like, I don't know who's financing.
That could be from any of the, it could be the Stark stuff. Oh, I mean, that, that's easily explained away in the comics.
I don't know where his hangout was, but.
Right. Yeah. You think Pepper's not still funding stuff?
I don't know.
It's like,
I was just like, who's paying for this?
Yeah. Hey, he's getting funded by the Wakandans, just like Deej is getting funded by Nakamichi.
Right.
You know, it's just being given, you know, it's fine.
Yeah. It's not funded. Trust me.
Not yet.
No, they won't fund me. They'll send me something that I'll have to send back. But
I did wonder about that.
Yeah.
Whether you'd have to send it back or whether they'd let you have it.
I'm sure.
I'll let you keep it.
Yeah, depends. Depends. Most of the time you just send it back.
Give them your address.
How do they send it to me?
Just PO Box.
P.O. Box. Yeah, send it to the general area that I live in and come find me.
Captain America stuff's quite cool in this. I mean, I like the suit in this. Notice he's got rid of the cowl, by the way, from Winter Soldier, because apparently Anthony Mackie said, I told them I'm not coming back if I've got to wear this cowl.
Really?
He kept holding up the glasses as they were shooting.
Well, they reference Ant-Man, so you see he's got the PIM technology as part of his stuff. And I liked some of the stuff he was doing with the shield and a little bit more acrobatic because he has to be because he doesn't have the sheer strength. And I do like the message of him not taking the serum, right? Like it was offered and he's like, no. I'm not doing that. And it was a pretty funny line at the end when he's like, Bucky's full of shit. It's so funny. Yeah. Like, it was so great. Like, you should have taken it.
Speaking of Bucky too, like, I thought it was an odd take that he's running for political office because we know the next movie we're getting is Thunderbolts. And he's not, I wouldn't have thought he would have been in favor with the public. In Thunderbolts, you know?
Well, so, I'm assuming that's a flashback, is it? Is this going to be something that's happened a few years ago? Like, you know, and he's kind of moved on since then? I'm not sure, but I imagine Thunderbolts is not present day. Because
Black Widow was a flashback, right? And that's when Yelena.
Yeah, and we know it's after
Maybe
Hawkeye.
You're right. Yeah, I didn't really think of that. Yeah,
it is after Hawkeye because she talks about how she tried to bury herself in her work.
Well, and the ghost character came from
Ant-Man 2.
Ant-Man 2. So that would have been in present day as well.
Yeah, but now we're talking 7, 8, 9 years ago, I suppose, aren't we? A while back. And Marvel's, their timeline's in the future anyway. They're like 5 years in the future because they missed it because of the blip. So I think they're a few years ahead.
Yeah,
anyway.
I guess. I don't know when Thunderbolts falls in the time.
I'm not sure.
But yeah,
I'm
I was just thinking that's a weird – because the next time we see him, he's kind of in a ragtag band of misfits. And here he is running for public office. So I thought that was odd. But I didn't consider that the timelines might not be the same.
Yeah.
So –
yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know. I thought that was weird as well.
I think Thunderbolts looks great, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to wait and see the reviews on that. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's as much fun as the Suicide Squad type, you know, Marvel Suicide Squad. You know, and I don't know. It looks a bit strange.
I know. I like David Harbour. I like Red Guardian a lot, and I like Yelena quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So I loved her in Hawkeye. I thought she was great.
She's great. Yeah.
So I don't know. I think the mix of characters I like a lot. I mean, I guess a couple of them. Like I could give or take what's his face? Captain America guy.
Anthony Mackie?
No.
Evans?
Russell. Wyatt Russell. Russell.
What
Wyatt
you Russell. Say? Yeah.
I mean, I could take him or leave him. And same thing with Taskmaster. So a couple of them I have questions about, but I think David Harbour and Florence Pugh are going to Sebastian Stan. I think they'll turn in and make it a fun movie. So I think it looks good. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going to wait for reviews on that. I mean, including yours, John. So you can tell me if it's good.
I'll see that opening week in the theater. I mean, I see all these movies. There's not a Marvel movie that I won't go to the theaters to see unless it's Venom. I'm super excited for Fantastic Four. So
it does look good. Do you guys not think that's good? We're spoiling everything. I mean, it's in the trailer.
Well, it's
the
trailer.
It's a bit weird the way the thing talks with his normal voice, with Evan, whatever his name is, normal voice. That was weird, I thought. I hope they're going to modulate his voice a bit. In the 2015 Fantastic Four, which I watched on the glasses, when the thing talks, you can hear, this is why these Bose speakers are very cool on these, you can hear rock moving like it's his tongue or it's his teeth or his lips moving. So when he talks very subtly, you can hear rock scraping on rock. And I just think that Eben Bacharach, whatever his name is, Burt Bacharach's son, it's just a normal voice coming out of rock.
I guess, but I did notice, speaking of the rock scraping though, like when they're cooking and he's pinching whatever, you can hear the rock scraping, which I thought was cool because I didn't remember any version of Fantastic Four doing that with the thing. So I thought that was cool. I'm a little surprised that Pedro Pascal pulled the Cesar Romero though and didn't shave his mustache off for Reed Richards. I thought he would get rid of that because it's not like he's married to it. He's taken it off for other roles before, so that's nice. But I love the take. I love that it's very 1960s.
Yeah.
I love that Herbie the Robot is there.
It's kind of a little bit of a version of WandaVision.
Yeah, that reminded me a lot of the intro to the trailer reminded me of WandaVision. I don't know. I think it looks super fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am looking forward to that. That's a day one. Go to that.
Yeah.
Galactus looks kind of cool. And
they did Galactus.
Which
is
such a dopey concept in real, in kind of live action because he's very of the comics.
But
made it look very cool.
At least he's not a big cloud.
Yeah. Because is it possible that they do something like, okay, here they were in the 60s, they were something, and we've already had a blip where people disappeared for 5 years. Is it possible that something happens in that movie and then the end of the movie is them like blipping back and being like, what the hell happened?
Well, somehow they have to get them to present day.
Exactly.
I mean, I have no doubt
about
that. I'm super glad that they're starting them where they are though.
No origin story.
Yeah. And I like that that's the that's kind of the mood and the motif they're going with. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But at the end of the day, they have to get them merged in with the rest of the MCU.
Sacred timeline.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. The sacred timeline.
Well, we have all that. And that's – it's obviously when they write this stuff, it's not like they sat down and when they wrote – like they wrote Iron Man and then they wrote Incredible Hulk. And we're like, okay, we're going to make this movie 15 years later. So we'll know we're doing it. No, what they do is they take the writers and they're like, look at the entire timeline. How can we go with this? What can we pull and do?
Oh, I'm sure.
Which I think is really interesting. Yeah. And it's like, so who knows what's going to come next? Because like, I bet you they don't know.
Right.
They
know what they're doing with the Fantastic Four.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, it's just so, but we don't, because they could borrow from something else.
Right.
And when do they start borrowing from X-Men?
Right.
When do they start, you know, they kind of already have, haven't they?
They took the first baby steps with introducing adamantium.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Right. But they also used, Patrick Stewart. In a different timeline. They've already introduced Professor Xavier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, in what? Doctor Strange.
Multiverse.
Yeah. The multiverse. Mm-hmm. They introduced
Reed Richards and Captain Marvel. And
yeah, different Reed Richards. And they,
Captain Britain. Yeah.
Captain Britain.
Yeah.
But and that's the X-Men. So we know there's a Charles Xavier somewhere out there in the in the multiverse. But
Wolverine.
What's her name? Miss Marvel is a mutant, according to the show. So they've introduced mutants into the MCU, her and Wanda,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've already got the idea of mutants, so
In terms of canon, they've already brought in one of the X-Men, and that's Quicksilver from the Fox universe as well. They brought him into WandaVision, so he's in there anyway. Yep. Yeah. Was it Evan Peters? So that it's all merged already anyway. The waters aren't pure. They're already kind of
You were wondering how they were going to bring in mutants, and they've already done it, So I think the X-Men are easy now. You just have to figure out where they've been, because that's the whole thing with the Fantastic Four as well. It's like if the Fantastic Four were active in the 60s, then heroes aren't new to the MCU. So why don't Iron Man know of the Fantastic Four? They have to figure out – it's not how they get the X-Men in. It's just where they've been,
Well, I think that's why they put them in the 60s.
Well, and then we brought Beast in too. What was the
– the Marvels. The Marvels.
Yeah.
So he's been in there too. So they're there.
We just don't know where they are,
Right.
We
have to figure out which version of the Marvels.
I don't think you can just have an X-Men movie as an event where they all just get created somehow. They're all born mutant. Or, they've already been there. So you just have to figure out where they have been while all this other stuff is going on. And that's all you really have to explain. Same thing with the Fantastic Four. If they've been in existence, why don't they know about them already?
But we went through the same thing with Captain Marvel, right? Like, when they were coming out, like, where has she been? How did this happen? And like, why doesn't anybody know about it? And they did a really good job of explaining that away. It's like,
And I think with the Fantastic Four, it's that they're in an alternate timeline and they did not exist in the 60s in the current MCU, but you can't do the same thing. It's odd if you do the exact same thing with the X-Men. You don't want to pull that card too many times. And just say, everybody's just coming from an alternate timeline, because it gets tired. You have to have a different reason.
And there's no stakes then as well, isn't it? If someone could just walk in from another multiverse, here I am. It's not the same. Right. And of course, they're going to that well with Doomsday, aren't they? With Dr. Doom. Yeah. Robert Downey Jr. They're doing it with that. Somewhere else, he's the bad guy.
Well, and so there's also talk about bringing Chris Evans back in a different role as well. And I think that's a dangerous slope to go down too, because you don't want to just keep bringing these guys back as different people. I don't know,
you start to unpick the work that you've done, the outstanding work you've done previously.
It's a novelty once, but if you go back to the well too many times, then it's.
But what about, like, I look at, like you said, it takes place in the 60s, which predates every character that we've had in this universe.
Right, because he even predates Captain Marvel.
Steve was frozen, so he wouldn't know about him.
Right.
Is it, I guess it doesn't predate. Is it that they were, like, so super classified? They were, and we've seen this already, that they can take some, like, look at Area 51. Public's not ready for this. Let's scrub this from history because they're gone. We haven't seen them. Something happened. Let's scrub them from history because people aren't ready for it. And then here we go. Even, Stark knew about it, not Tony, but it's like it was scrubbed.
Yeah, but
and then Tony's born in 1970. He comes along. Here we get the new version. Even Nick Fury didn't know about this. This was above his pay grade. They easily could do that. And that's the only reason I'm saying that is because they picked a decade that leads to that, that it would be possible.
I don't know I don't know that it could be though, because Area 51 is one thing. I mean, the Fantastic
Four. No, that's real life.
But the Fantastic Four were the Beatles. Like, you know what I mean? They were famous. Everybody knew them. Even in the trailer for this movie, kids are wearing Halloween costumes. Mm. Like, I don't know that you can just scrub them from.
No, I don't think that's what they're doing.
You know how? Oh my God. I just watched both X-Men. I watched X-Men 2. I didn't talk about it. Yeah. You know how you do it? Xavier did it.
Yeah.
According to the X-Men, he could scrub everybody's memories.
I guess, yeah. But even
you know what I mean? Like, imagine that.
You got to be pretty good to keep
at the end of the Captain – at the end of the Fantastic Four movie, you go, they're gone. People aren't ready for this. And Xavier goes into and be like, boop, gone.
Maybe, but then you also have to scrub the merch though too, right? Like you could make people's memories, but like they were the Fantastic Four, they had toys, they had Halloween costumes.
Yeah.
Like your government has to spend trillions to scour eBay to make, you know what I mean? You've got to get every trace of.
The eBay didn't exist then. That's why they could do this in the 60s.
No, but you know
it
what
it doesn't exist. About. People don't know what it is.
Markets.
It's gone.
There were markets where people traded in collectibles and stuff, even in the 60s.
Prior to eBay,
people collected stuff, you know.
Are we saying that this is the first two seasons of Damage Control then? Is it them
stuff? Like it would have to be such an effort to scrub them from existence.
But I think it's all the tech as well. In the trailer, it looks like it's like the Jetsons. There's tech everywhere. So I don't think that's what they're doing. The idea here is they're in a different Earth. They're in another Earth.
It never says it's the 60s. You know what I mean?
That's the kind of what it's homaging.
It's the vibe of the 60s. It's the future tech is what I'm saying. Yeah. Right.
So you can see it in the trailer. It's sort of like it looks like the Jetsons. So the whole society is different.
Well, even Herbie the Robot for that matter.
So I think it is a different
Reed Richards. You know, that's not necessarily like Herbie the Robot wasn't available to the general public. You know, it was, but you know what I mean? Like that was Reed Richards' invention. It's not like everybody had robots or flying cars or things like that. I think
Stay for the audio only. Dan, sorry, chat. I wish I had Steve's glasses right now, waiting for a girls' basketball game to start.
Yeah. See, I'm not sure if it means he wants to watch a film or he's hoping to see the girls on a really big screen.
Right. Or what I want to take from it is like he's listening to us clearly watching this and he's done with us and he needs something else.
Right. Well, that's right. I forgot other people were still in the chat.
Yeah, me too.
I know. Exactly.
Two people watching this. So
yeah, live.
I guess they've all seen Brave New World that we stopped talking about 20 minutes ago.
Well, we're spoiling. Well, it's not really. I mean, we're talking about the future and spoilers and stuff that was brought
up. Well, and we can't spoil movies that haven't come out yet. So
that's the fun part because you throw enough stuff against the wall, one of them comes true and we have it recorded.
That's right.
We were right. Yeah. Well, there you go.
We thought of it first.
Yeah,
exactly.
By the way, did you see the number of writers on this? Did you see that? I mean, again,
it was a lot. Under any doubt. I don't know how that compares to other movies. You know what I mean? I don't really pay attention.
There are five credited writers on this.
Yeah.
So you, I mean, that doesn't happen again. That's indicative of the sheer amount of reshoots they did in this film. But yeah, I mean, that's a story in and of itself. I mean, it's a shame Marvel are so tight-lipped because there's an awful lot, you know, that went on with this. But anyway, yeah, so they're very cool. And, you know, I think we're all agreed it's good and looking forward to the home theater experience.
Yeah, for sure. I'll definitely buy it and watch it in rotation with the other ones.
How is the public perception? I haven't seen anything.
Again, it's very mixed. Yeah. It's very mixed, you know. But again, you're always going to get that. You get that with every movie. But this movie in particular was always going to get that because you're going to have the go woke crowd that's going to just hate it for existing. Yeah. And then you're going to have, you know, reasonable people who will watch it and give it a chance. but yeah, it's just like, it's kind of like The Gorge. Some people liked it and some people not so much. So
some people were wrong and some people thought it was rubbish.
And some people didn't like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been very mixed in fairness. The Gorge.
Well, it has. Really, yeah. Really mixed. And again, I'm not going to claim it was a masterpiece, but I had fun with it. So
I wanted to really like it. I wonder what is if it had sounded amazing, because there's certainly
would
some
you have liked it more.
Yeah, and I mean, might it have been enhanced by a good HD experience? Maybe, but I don't think you could paper over the dreadful dialogue and the again Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, Flying Dutchman creatures, which I thought were particularly
cool, man.
Oh man, when the snakes in, well, we're spoiling everything now. When the snake thing comes out.
We were spoiling The Gorge.
Yeah. They do look like the crew of the Flying Dutchman. We've seen this before.
There's definitely story reasons for it, you know.
Yeah.
Why they look the way they look.
Yeah. So. I mean, I did like the sequence. I mean, sorry, Deej, because you haven't seen it yet, but the sequence with the Jeep coming up the thing was quite good. That was was well mounted and you know, was quite mildly exciting for several seconds.
It was, but that was also a bit of my eye roll because I don't know that could happen.
No, the winch. Like, yeah. The winch is really strong on this.
But that rope would have had to have been tied pretty freaking tight around that tree on the other end.
Yeah, and also isn't it interesting that they kept these Jeeps gassed up, ready to go?
Exactly.
For 50 years.
Yeah. Well, and I couldn't help thinking, like, it took all of modern-day technology to keep them from escaping the gorge. What were they doing in the 40s? Like, how were two people keeping anybody from escaping the gorge, you know?
Because they had more people then. In modern technology, they could reduce the manpower.
Well, according to at least the story.
Kind of like self-checkout at the store. They used to have a ton of cashiers. Now there's one.
Yeah, but it always made it seem like there was just one person in each tower. They never really talked about
that. That is a story point, isn't it? Because
you definitely had, you know, computer-controlled machine guns around the perimeter of the gorge. I don't know how they were doing that, you know.
Maybe they weren't. Like I said, maybe technology got rid of that job.
Yeah,
I don't know. Pretty much what's going on in the world.
I don't know Miles how they did this 50 years ago.
So Miles Teller does not play a sensitive, you know, action man who writes poetry. You know, she collapsed the night. Yeah.
Now that we're really spoiling things, I guess. Yeah,
God.
I didn't have a problem necessarily with their relationship, other than that it progressed so fast. It was like but that happens in a lot of these movies.
There's a montage.
Because they only have 2 hours.
You went from like, how do you like your rabbit pie to I love you in like 6 hours, you know?
I mean, one of the funniest things in it was that talk about rabbit pie, because I'm thinking that's a euphemism all day long.
I know, right?
With your rabbit pie.
But it's just I don't know how we got to I love you. Like, I know they were like communicating for 6 months, you know, across the gorge with signs, but you don't fall in love with somebody.
Those are some, unless one of those signs happened to say "Sell Cockatoo" by Koala, I'm for anyone that's got a sign that says that.
I mean, there must have been a lot of stick figure drawings that we didn't see going back and forth on those.
Hand signals.
Yeah.
Let's not.
And now we're really going. But they weren't supposed to have any contact between towers. That was the rule. Why did they have these glasses that they could look at each other
Yeah.
Across
the
towers.
Why are the towers directly opposite one another?
Exactly.
Just why have them on opposite ends of the gorge? Yeah.
If we're not supposed to be communicating,
yeah.
Like, why are we able to look at each other? Yeah. You know? So, I don't, yeah, I mean, there's some definitely silly things to it, but I don't know. I just think it gave me exactly what I thought I was going to get. So, yeah. I thought it was fine.
But it didn't give me all of what I wanted. I thought it's going to be one of these things. It's going to be a creature feature. It's going to be a sci-fi action movie. It's going to be a, you know, something like that. Not try and do all of it in 2 hours.
Right.
And then not do it. It's like a jack of all trades and master of none, you know?
I almost would have liked to seen it as like a mini series.
Yeah, that might have been better.
Like a six episode thing. Cause you really could have gone very, again, sorry, DJ.
Deep into the gorge.
But I'm seeing you really could have gone deep into the story, like the experiments and the, you know, all the stuff that made it, you know.
Yeah. And you might have cared more about knowing where these two came from and kind of how they've got to this point. You know, then it's not hokey then, because you're like, okay, well, I know why he's messed up. I know why poetry means something to him. I know why she's so attached to her dad and why that has that impact. I now know why these two, when they find one another, are prepared to fall in love so quickly because of what has brought them here. Right. And then, you know, a couple of episodes in the 40s, whatever it would have been.
Exactly.
So we can see why these creatures are there. Yeah. All of that stuff. But instead, they squeeze it all into 2 hours, give you a really poor sound mix, and then that's it. You know, it's weird, really weird. But anyway,
there's not a movie that I've seen that I don't think would benefit from a six episode series. So, I mean, you could say that about anything. You know, I'm really at the point where I want shows more than movies. Of everything,
One of the things that I was going to talk about this week, which I'll talk about next week, is in fact a series that's a spin-off from movies, which is Wolf Creek, and we'll talk about that next week. Those were two horror movies, which were then spun off into two seasons of six episodes. Fun enough,
Wolf Creek,
and that's about a stalk and slash movie that is then given a series or two seasons, in fact, which we'll talk about, and you can dust off your crikey because it's an Aussie thing. Okay. So,
is it streaming somewhere? Like, where do you watch it?
Well, no, the movies are on Blu-ray. The series, I've got both on Blu-ray as well now, but I'm not sure because they're Aussie things and they showed over in a thing called Stan.
I'm looking for things to watch.
So. Yeah. Well, this is kind of, you'd want to see the movies first. Otherwise the series won't make much sense, but it's about an Aussie serial killer called Mick. Of course, he's like the anti Crocodile Dundee. So he's got the kind of the jibs, the jibes and stuff, but it's brutal as all hell. I mean, Wolf Creek is a, you know, it's worth seeing the first one and seeing if you like that. It is, it's about two, you know, hikers. They go into the outback. They find themselves falling afoul of who they think is a colorful Australian local who is anything but. And then turns the tables and brutality ensues. And there's a sequel to that. And then they've done two seasons of a TV show. And so that, like I said, it's exactly what you said. This is a movie that was spun off into a six episode series. And, and actually it's very well done. It might be streaming somewhere.
I'll look for it. And I won't say anything else because we only said we were going to spoil Brave New World. Not a bunch of but have either one of you guys finished Cobra Kai yet?
No. I fell off Cobra Kai.
I mean, it's silly as all get out. It's so serious. The stakes are so high for these karate tournaments, but I think they did a great job. Like, they really did it some justice, I think. We watched it the other day, and
I saw the trailer for Karate
Legends.
Kid Legends.
I'm trying to figure out if they're in any way connected. I don't think they are.
Oh yeah, they are. You got Ralph Macchio.
They have to be somehow.
But is it a spin-off? I mean, it doesn't have to take place in the same timeline as Cobra Kai, though.
The story seems to be Jackie Chan rocks up and says he's looking for Mr. Miyagi, and then Ralph Macchio's looking exactly the same age as he does in Cobra Kai.
I didn't know if they were in any way connected.
I'm not sure. I mean, I think it was season five was the last one I saw. I haven't seen six, one or two. I think it might have been four. We finished, but I just, I fell off that. It got very, very silly, and it had been silly from the beginning.
I mean, it's always been silly. That's the whole thing. It's been silly since day one. You kind of have to embrace the silliness, but even still, I was kind of like, man, we're getting awful. You know, we have death plots in Karate Kid. It's like, it got really high stakes, silly,
crazy,
but it was fun. I don't know. I thought it was fun. I thought they did a good job with the ending of it.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Legends. I think I'll see that. I don't think I've seen theaters,
but
the fighting looks good. I mean, I'm encouraged by the fact they've brought in an unknown who's clearly got a lot of martial arts talent, which is the one thing that I think has been missing from Karate Kid since day one, because they've never hired any actors that can fight. Whereas this kid, this guy that's introducing, this young lad, looks like he actually can fight. And there's some really acrobatic fight moves you can see that reminded me of Ray Park. You know, it's that kind of, you know, Darth Maul style spins and that kind of thing. So if that's what we're going to get, a proper martial arts movie in the Karate Kid world, I'm there for that all day long. Cause for a series called Karate Kid, no one can fight. I mean, they're all dreadful at karate, terrible at it, and any kind of martial arts. So to then, you know, you'd have thought by now they'd have learned some by osmosis. But, you know, none of that's happened. So whereas Karate Kid Legends with Jackie Chan and then this guy.
Jackie Chan, so you know.
Yeah. Although he's, what is he, 70 now?
I was going to say, he's not really Jackie Chan anymore, but.
No. Jackie walking frame. Right. But the fights do look good from the trailer. So that's something I'll see, but I wouldn't go to the theaters to see it. I'm not that.
I probably won't. Well, I don't know. I might, but it takes a lot to get me out to the theater these days. Mm. Although, like I said, we were kind of itching to go see something a few weeks ago, but we didn't. Mm. We just never got there.
All right, fellas. We're looking at the time. It's 5 to 1 in the morning here.
Yeah. And I've got to get my truck. My truck's already running. I started my truck already. I'm like, I got to get going.
Oh, well, that's fine. We can go anytime. I need to go eat too, but.
Yeah. So,
I'm hungry.
Yeah. Right, well, it's been cool.
Yeah, man. That's it. 2 hours 40. Check us out.
Yeah. Man. Well, yeah. It's been a while since we've done a show this long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, but actually, we've done this recently, but just it was an after show stuff.
Yeah, just us talking. Yeah.
And then I also do the Patreon, so I usually go another hour with them.
Early finish.
So, but yeah, so we are literally still on. So it didn't see. I mean, this is what we do. It was great shooting the beep with you guys, talking spoilers. We got to do this more about stuff like this.
We can spoil all kinds of movies.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Just say we're going to spoil one thing and then spoil 10 other things while we're at it.
And it is funny that
people were listening. I just was like, I thought we were in the pre-show.
I know.
By the way, did you see this? Didn't it suck when that guy died?
Yeah, exactly. So, a lot of fun. So, all right. We're legitimately ending now. So, everybody have a great week. Hope you enjoyed the extra.
Later.
If you're still watching, listening, whatever. But we'll be back next week, and you know what you got to do.
Go push play.
What he said.
And yet again, that's right.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production, with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.